I got sound if you want to go.
Ready? Rolling.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, talking now.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Kobe, how my ass tastes. Everybody, Kobe, how my ass tastes. Yeah, you couldn't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Kobe, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe, tell me how my ass tastes. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Yeah, you can't do it without me. Everybody, Kobe. Yeah.
It's like, life is like a snare drum. Whack it.
Thank you, and screw you.
When, you know, life looks at you funny, take the fast lane.
So not
you know,
time.
We Armenians are like the n****s
of all.
And now.
What a ridiculous way to start a day. Well, I hope it doesn't get any worse.
Our feature presentation.
Well, we could almost guarantee that it'll get worse.
Yes, true.
Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:32. It's Monday, the 17th of Blovember.
She can suck it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'm riding a horse yesterday around the Hollywood sign and down into forest lawn. And what?
I think that was
that wouldn't have been.
I think that would have been Psycho Mike. I don't even know the story, but I know it wasn't you.
It wasn't me riding a horse around the Hollywood sign.
No, that doesn't seem like you.
What's going on with you, Psycho Mike? Are you filming porn?
No. How did you draw that conclusion?
It just sounds like something that would be the setup to some sort of a, you come around the corner and there's, you know, a damsel in distress and you have to, I don't know. I don't know what goes on with you and your Hollywood types.
How do you end up riding a horse around the Hollywood sign?
What's odd? I care for a horse up at the Sunset Ranch, which is right next to the Hollywood sign.
And by care for, you mean?
Make love to.
Oh, come on.
No, you know.
Is that how you want to start the week?
No.
All the stuff that goes into caring for a horse, you know.
Sure. Sure.
So I'm riding this horse, and as soon as I get there, all the ranch hands, all the Mexican guys are like, "What are you doing wearing your house slippers? What are you doing wearing your house slippers to ride a horse? He's going to break your foot. He's going to break your foot." I'm fine because I was wearing Vans tennis shoes.
Right.
And no more than like a minute and a half after they said that, horse steps right on my foot.
Just
crushes my foot.
Nice. They knew. They knew what they were talking about, and you blew them off.
You're lucky you didn't break your foot, man.
How was the smoke around that part of town, by the way? I imagine there are some areas in Southern California right now that are just brutal to breathe in.
Hollywood was as good as any, but everywhere was bad. I mean, there were so many fires.
San Fernando Valley was really bad.
There was ash everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. You really couldn't escape it. I have friends on the west side that were seeing the smoke and some ash, too, over there.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Is this how does this this fall compare to previous in terms of how many fires there are and how bad it is?
I think this one
seems worse than usual.
The devastation is much worse. We may have had more fires. You know, when Griffith Park burned, that was a big deal. But they say 125 homes from the Orange County fire plus 600 apartment buildings have burned down.
Wow,
dude!
And there's over 600 because of the Sylmar fire, including 475 mobile homes. I mean, I don't think we've had anything like this.
We should stop the fires.
Maybe we should get some water.
You know,
I think they're trying. I think that's one of the they're trying to do that.
Oh, I see.
By the way, why is it that mobile homes attract natural disaster? What's the theory behind that?
Arnold Schwarzenegger was talking about that over the weekend, and that we, or else it was the mayor, one or the other, was talking about we need to have stronger standards for mobile homes because they're so close together, and they're just not in any way built to withstand fire. They go up like little tinderboxes.
Mm. Yeah. So. Or earthquakes, or anything else, any other
really
natural disaster.
Yeah, that's
the first things that go in a flood, the first things that go in a hurricane, tornado.
Yeah. My guess people is, that can least afford it.
My guess is the people that live in them want to die. That's my guess. So they don't really want to make them strong, you know?
Well, we're fortunate now that it's so tragic to think about it. But if you're out there right now and your mobile home burned up and you think it's as bad as it gets and life couldn't get any worse, this at least will cheer you up.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love you so much.
That at least will make your day a little bit better. Just hearing the hot Cheetos, kids.
Seriously. You got to listen to that. Then you have to try the hot Cheetos because they're
That's
damn
right.
good. And
right.
Your whole world will turn around.
Good advice.
I will, I will send that to the King of Mexico today because far and away the most the number one email over the weekend was, yep. Hey, any way you can put the Hot Cheetos Kids on the Download Rodeo, I must have it as the ringtone on my phone. So we will take care of that for you today. We didn't get to it over the weekend, but that'll happen.
And before the fires, they were just Cheetos. So I think that actually we could look at it as a positive, glass half full.
We are going to take your calls for Kevin Bean's What to Do Nephew like we do at the start of every show. The number 1-800-520-1067. If you got any fire stories or any other excitement over the weekend, maybe you saw the James Bond movie, whatever's going on with you, you give us a call, get on the air, and get a prize. I was in a house over the weekend, Kevin, where I am staying in New York City with no television and limited internet access.
Wow, is that your version of hell?
I was pulling my hair out by Friday night. I don't know how people live like that.
Yeah, well, most people don't build every second of their lives around TV and internet.
But
like, they have like, I don't know, friends, and they go places. You
but
know?
how do you keep up with what's going on?
You don't.
How do you know what's happening in the world?
You don't.
You don't, but your
He's
need...
Right. You check out for a day or two.
Your need to know what's going on in the world is supernatural. I mean, it's really an oddly high amount of interest in what's going on.
I bet they had news radio, right?
No, they didn't have a radio.
Oh, my God.
They didn't have a radio either. Now, I listened to, you know, KNX a little bit on my iPhone because I can, but, I mean, there were so many things over the weekend that I was interested in. That yesterday's a perfect example. I saw no football yesterday. None. I mean, think about how unlikely that is in your world, Kevin, that a day would come where you wouldn't even see a recap of the day's football games.
Well,
okay?
I can tell you about the Seattle-Arizona game if you'd like to know.
Well, I did see the score this morning. I do know that I do know Seattle lost, which is no surprise. But I saw no football yesterday. It was really, really bad when I knew Barack Obama was going to be on 60 Minutes last night. I was dying to see that. Couldn't see that. I mean, there's all this stuff that was going on. I was interested in what was going on with the fires. Couldn't watch any of that. It just sucked. It's like living in 1850 in this house. Like, what's that all about?
Well, first of all, you picked a good place. And second of all, how interested could you be in what Barack Obama has to say on 60 Minutes? I mean, they're going to ask him softball questions. And he's going to go, yep, I'm going to –
well,
we're
going to
make everything better. And
haven't
you heard enough from him?
60 Minutes is not really – they haven't really built their reputation on softball questions. Mm-hmm. But I was interested in hearing, you know, how he's adjusting to having won and what his life is like. And – you know, we're all interested in what it's like to become the president and move into the White House and have to deal with
all of that
Secret Service and things like that. I'm interested to see as a person how his life has changed. And, you know, I want to see how much he's sweating the burden that's on his head right now.
Well, it's certainly not a good time to take over the country, I'll tell you that. Or a good time, one or the other. I mean, maybe you look forward to it as a huge challenge.
Great opportunity.
Need it more now than ever. But you taped it, right? I mean, it's at home.
Yeah, I've got it at home, but God damn it. I mean, that's not till tomorrow. I mean, what is that? I'm just saying, I don't know.
It might
how
be time
people
for
live
a news,
like that. I don't know.
A news and internet intervention with Bean because he's gotten much worse.
I think this is good for him.
Yeah.
You should do this once a year at least.
My fear is that somebody's going to come up to me today and they're going to go, hey, did you hear about? And I'm going to have to shake my head and go, no, I missed that one.
But that's what we all do.
You kind of spoil it for us. Once in a while, we'd like to have some news that you haven't heard that you might find interesting.
We hate telling you interesting stories because you go, saw it 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
I saw it last week.
Mm-hmm. Today's your day. Today you can tell me anything because I know nothing.
All right. Seattle lost to Arizona.
That I
can tell you that. In football.
That
all right, let's take your phone calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
Here's the way this deal works. You pick up the phone and give us a call. 1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. You get on the air, you get a prize. Unfortunately, I do not yet have my paperwork, Kevin, so you're going to have to tell the kids what they win for being on the air with us.
They win a brand new car. Oh, wait, no. you got tickets to the K-Rock Advanced screening of Warren Miller's Children of Winter. And a pair of passes to Ski Dazzle 2008.
Oh, that's cool.
Okay.
All right. Talking about skiing all of a sudden. Let's begin with Ryan in Ukiah. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning.
What it do?
What it do? Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Ryan.
Hello. Went to the Los Angeles Kings game to watch the Kings lose.
On Saturday?
Yeah.
I went there as well.
And then,
they played well, though, but yeah, they lost.
They played well, yes.
Go ahead.
And ran into Christian Slater sitting in his seat, and he came up and had a move.
You were sitting in Christian Slater's seat?
Yeah, I came with his kid and some Entourage, and very nice. Very, very nice guy.
Christian Slater's going to be on Entourage?
No.
He could. He had an Entourage. Canceled.
Yeah. He has nothing but time now to go to Kings games, yep. Tell you that.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
So I took a picture and said, hey.
Boy, did you bring that story.
That's a hell of a story.
I feel like I was there.
We had hoped that there would be more, like I said hi to him and he punched me or anything.
I refused to get out of the seat and he wrestled me down the aisle.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you gotta work on that story and then maybe get back to us. Hey, who won the Anaheim LA game? I know that was last night.
I don't know. I think probably neither team. Anaheim.
What?
Oh, Anaheim. Okay. Hey, Bean, I'll tell you something else that hasn't happened in a long time. The Philadelphia Eagles tied in the NFL.
Really?
How lame is that? Did you even know that was possible?
No. Don't they just keep going overtimes until somebody scores?
That's what I thought.
What happened?
At the end of the overtime, it was 13-13 and the game ended.
You've got to be kidding me.
No. So now the records are, 4-1-1 or whatever. They've got the tie now.
Who are they playing?
I don't know. Does it matter? I don't remember.
Well, it matters because if it was in the division, then it could end up being pretty significant down the road.
I think it was unbelievable. Yeah.
Wow. Tied. We'll ask Ralph about that when he gets in here in a minute. Let's try Fernando. He is calling us from Moreno Valley this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's on line 4. Hey, Fernando. What'd it do?
It's actually Bernardo.
It's so funny because I looked at Fernando and I... Oh. No, that's good. That's what you want to happen in first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Some weird stuff happened.
Bernardo,
man.
We lost him.
I know.
Don't swear is what we're saying.
We have a bad system here, and it's not only is it bad, but it fails every time. So when we have
you
to
swear,
dump,
we lose you.
When we have to get out of delay. We don't have any option of talking to you anymore.
Yeah.
Well, we need to fix that because that blows.
Okay, wait. Let me make a note.
Let's try Ken in Anaheim, shall we? Maybe we'll have better luck if he doesn't bring his potty mouth on line 5. Hey, Ken, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
Ken.
And now we can't talk to Ken either?
Well, I don't think it's because of that.
I don't know why it is.
I thought maybe the phones
were
still blocked.
I think it is until it ramps up, yeah.
Well, how long does that take exactly?
There we go.
All right, let's all be
Five
quiet
minutes?
And then it'll ramp up.
Try it again.
Ken.
What's up, Ken?
What's going on?
Hi, Ken.
I wanted to thank Bean for talking to Lita Loreska last week.
Okay, why? How come?
Because she's not on this morning.
Whoa. What?
Bean?
Kevin and Bean curse.
By the way, one of the reasons I'm freaking out about not having a television at my disposal is I can't see what Elite is wearing after we had that conversation with her on Friday afternoon. I'm dying to know if she took our advice and now is dressing like a whore.
No.
But you're saying she's not even on today?
She's not even the guy that's on there now.
How are you going to come at us like that?
Is he showing cleavage?
No, but I'm sure he has some to spare.
I'm going to speculate that they have a fire specialist on instead of the regular weather person.
Nope.
They have.
That can't be it.
Speculate all you want.
I like Ken. He's funny.
I'm with Ken. I'm
nope.
with Ken.
That's
all right.
Stupid.
Well, we'll check it out tomorrow and see if she comes back. But we did finally, for folks who did not hear, did we replay that
yes.
this morning, Mike?
Yeah. Yes.
So if you weren't listening a few minutes ago, we did finally catch up with the leader of Reska, and we expressed our supreme disappointment with her dressing like she's doing the Baghdad weather. We told her to Americanize it up a little bit. It's 150 degrees outside, and you're wearing a freaking turtleneck. What's up? So we'll see when she gets back if she took our advice to heart or not.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
All right. We have Miss Double December 2009
yes.
to kick off.
Yes.
Oh, my God, it's that
Finally.
Time already.
It's that time already.
Wow.
Can't wait.
Not only is it that time, but in like a week and a half, we're going to be after Thanksgiving and moving toward Christmas. This is ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah.
It's moving faster this year, I'm convinced.
It was August yesterday.
Yes, it was. We'll talk about the Secret Service code names that they have now. They're out talking about the code names for the president and his wife and his kids.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they do that, but...
I don't either. It doesn't seem like it's useful as a code name anymore once you put it on TV.
How much of a code is it? I mean, you might as well just say Barack at that point.
Right.
If you're going to tell us what the code name is. We're going to find out what's going on with Twilight. Pretty tired of hearing and seeing about that.
These Twilight fans. My God.
There's a billboard on my way to work on La Brea that is counting down.
It's
one of those electronic ones. It's
days,
like,
minutes.
Four more days.
Yes.
I was like, yes!
Yeah, I can't wait till that's over.
Oh, I'm so excited.
As well. They call themselves Twihards, by the way.
Okay, well, that's stupid.
They need to get beat up for that. And our new charity event, Forklifts for Fido, coming up today.
Okay.
On the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz. Freaking tired. tie. That's embarrassing, a tie.
What's the deal with that? Dude, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hold on. It's 5:52 Monday morning. Ralph is here.
Hold this.
I made the mistake of trying to get Kevin to explain something to me, Ralph. So now that you're here, you can tell me what really happened with the Eagles game tying.
Well, they managed to get to eke out a tie against the powerhouse Bengals. You kidding me? We're happy. How do you beat a team that's 1-8?
Did you know that a tie was even possible, though?
Sure.
Because I didn't.
It happened in like 2002, I think, was the last time. But I remember that game as well. There's only one overtime minute, period. There's one 15-minute overtime period. That's it. First team to score within that is sudden death, but they just allow for one overtime period. You hear about it all the time when they talk about the playoffs. You'll hear when they start talking about the permutations of how different teams will get into the playoffs when they've only got the six slots. They'll say, well, okay, if the Redskins lose or tie, then the Giants will advance. And you hear that talking about it all the time because it is a
but
always
never
potential,
happens.
But it very rarely happens.
Yeah, I mean, is this about right, Ralph? Once every 6 years?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah. Wow. Unbelievable.
But at least it was only against the Bengals.
Well, we're lucky to get out of there with a tie against that Super Bowl contender.
Knowing how tough your division is, though, and it may not make any difference, obviously, because it looks like the Giants are going to win it, outright. But, yeah. I mean, is it going to make a difference down the road playing for the wild card or whatever?
Because it's an AFC team.
Mm-hmm. Not
we
so much.
Played, it won't really have any.
That's what I figured.
Won't
yeah.
have any impact on the standings when it comes to trying to get into a wild card position or anything. So it really won't hurt the Eagles. It certainly won't help them.
Plus,
however,
you won't be even vying for the wild cards.
I don't think that's going to be an issue this year. So. We're not going to worry about ties. I don't think it's going to come down to that. Ooh, if it wasn't for that tie, you guys would be going to the playoffs.
Any sport that allows a tie is a bogus sport, or at least that's a bogus rule.
Well, it so rarely happens, I guess, that they figure they don't really need to deal with it, but they do need to deal
they
with
do.
It.
They do.
They do need to deal with it.
There should be no ties in football.
And hasn't, Kevin, wouldn't you agree that hockey has improved 25% since they eliminated the tie a few years ago?
Yes. I was complaining about that all the time. Now they took care of that. It's much more exciting. They get a winner. It's ridiculous to play that long and then come away with
it. It was so perfect, though, because the game was so horrible and so painfully boring.
It was not good.
From both sides of the field, that it just was appropriate that they both sucked so much.
They didn't deserve to win. Neither of them did.
They both get an equal share of the sucking.
They just kind of slowed down to a stop at the end of the overtime, and then they went.
Well, because the players had never dealt with it either, most of them. They looked at each other like, what do you mean?
What do we do now?
Game's over. No one has scored yet. I don't understand. And the fans were like, but kind of filed out. It was the worst game ever.
It's bogus. Hilarious.
Yeah. All right. It's the Kevin and Bean Show Morning Show Edition. Don't forget, we do come back between 5 and 6 this afternoon. We'll have Metallica tickets for you that you can win, and then 60 minutes of nonstop K-Rock music starting at 6 o'clock tonight with Nicole. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. First thing for money, what's going on?
Well, turns out people like themselves some James Bond 007. The 22nd Bond movie set a record for 007 movies over the weekend, pulling in over $70 million at the box office.
Wow.
That's a lot of money.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
That's Madagascar-type numbers right there.
I know Bean didn't. Did you go, Kevin?
I did not have time.
Beat Madagascar. It's already made about $300 million overseas. So
it's doing okay?
It's doing pretty good.
They got to be happy.
The previous Bond winner was 2002's Die Another Day with Pierce Brosnan.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that pulled in $47 million in its opening weekend.
Oh, so this nothing was even close.
Yeah.
How about that?
$7 million opening, by the way, is bigger than any movie this past summer as well.
Wow.
Iron Man, everything?
Yeah.
Wow.
So congratulations, James. Madagascar, Escape to Africa, number 2, with $36 million.
That's
and the
not
weekend,
bad,
when number 1's making $70 million, if you can make $36 million, that's pretty strong.
And that's the one that already made 65?
Yeah.
Wow.
So strong weekend for that. Role Models was number 3. High School Musical 3 came in at number 4. Then The Changeling. Zack and Miri Make a Porno, Soul Men, Secret Life of Bees, Saw 5, and The Haunting of Molly Hartley, with $1.6 million rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Jessica Simpson. Have you seen her on the cover of Cosmo this month?
Yes. I've not seen that yet.
That's a good-looking broad.
Yeah.
Nice melons.
She really... We got to come up with the brain transplant.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Are doctors working on that feverishly? Because in science fiction movies, you always see it. They take, like, some smoking hot babe, and they put, like, a good brain inside of her.
Yeah.
And then she's perfect. Why can't we do that? Doesn't seem that tough. What, there's like one cord or something right
That's
there.
That's it. Yeah, you just have to plug it in.
Just you snip that and you sew it up again with a new brain.
Super
just
easy.
Just plug and play, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she's very hard on herself when it comes to her looks, Jessica says in an interview inside Cosmopolitan magazine. If you can read the interview once you get past the photos, I know I couldn't. She said the thing that disturbs her most is that her toes are actually as long as her fingers.
Oh.
Ew.
Well, that's not sexy.
Not at all.
Wow.
But you should see her peel a banana.
Really?
Oh, the girl's got gifts. Yeah, that would creep me out if I was with a hot chick and I got down to her feet and she was like, you know, grabbing stuff, answering the phone and stuff.
Writing stuff with a pen.
Yeah, that would seem disturbing
yes,
to me.
Yes, I'd give her a plug.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Now what?
Which is a group I don't care for. Because of their tactics, not because of what they stand for, naturally. Had way too much time on their hands this weekend once again. Apparently, TMZ.com is reporting that one of the group tossed a bag of flour on Lindsay Lohan over the weekend.
They showed her.
They sure did. There. Now wear your fur. It's all got flour on it. And that ruined fur? No? Oh, all right. Never mind.
She just shook it out and she was fine?
Yeah, apparently. The Olsen twins also were accosted over the weekend, leaving a book signing in Westwood, California. So, PETA, attacking the idiots of show business.
No, that's okay.
But with flour.
With flour.
The answer, guys, and this makes everybody happy, is eat fewer animals and more hot Cheetos. Don't you agree?
Oh, I agree.
Yes.
Oh, you know hot Cheetos? They make me crazy.
They make you crazy.
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos! I love them so much!
Speaking of vegans and PETA members, Heather Mills in the news. You know, just because she's all peace, pot, and microdot with her diet doesn't mean she's completely natural. Apparently, she went under her third boob job this weekend.
Really?
Congratulations, Heather. How about less boob jobs, more leg jobs?
I like getting the legs. Really,
stop adding to your boobs and add to your knee. A little length there, maybe. That's what you're shooting for. I guess that would be bad, though, to have a big silicone bag hanging off your knee.
I don't think they would put your boob job down there.
Oh, they wouldn't?
No.
Oh. Is Kate Hudson following in the footsteps of Lindsay Lohan and the switching sides?
Hopefully.
Apparently, she was spotted hanging out in Miami this weekend with a female model. Eyewitnesses say in the clubs there in Miami, the same-sex duo looked to be having a, in quotes, wonderful time.
The salute to tuna.
Apparently did not care who saw them macking out on the dance floor.
God
bless you, Kate Hudson. Wow. Listen, Kate Hudson, maybe worst track record dating men ever.
Yeah.
I think it's a noble experiment for her to take a walk on the other side of the street and see how things go. Couldn't be any worse.
There are times when Kate Hudson looks okay. You guys agree?
Yeah, I think she's attractive.
I think on the cute scale.
Yeah,
she's like her mom was, Goldie Hawn, back in the day. Just cute as hell.
Yeah.
I was at the movies over the weekend. I saw the trailer of it looks like one of the worst movies ever, something about Bridal Wars or something like that. Ugh. And Kate Hudson, she looks okay, and then you put her in a movie with Anne Hathaway, and now she looks like dog food.
Nah. Anne Hathaway, not the greatest.
I know you don't care for Anne Hathaway.
No, I don't think she's ugly. I just think she's not what you guys think.
I saw Get Smart over the weekend. She looked
great.
She did look really good in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's done, especially when they're all dressed up going into that ballroom whenever she's got that dress on and whatnot with that little page boy haircut.
Mm-hmm.
Woof. And speaking of movies, you know, I'm not one for the big romances.
Right. Yeah.
Or the big sweeping epics.
Right. Mm-hmm.
However, this Australia
looks
awesome to me.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, it's Baz.
I do love Baz Luhrmann. I like all of his films. But Hugh Jackman and Nicole Kidman together?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything about this.
Good times. It's a World War II drama set in Australia, which is kind of an interesting take because you never really knew what Australia was doing during the Second World War.
I thought they slept through the Second World War.
It was the opposite of whatever we were doing here. I know that.
Apparently, the Aborigines picked up their spears and went after the Nazis.
All right.
Hugh Jackman, talking about the movie, says he's very proud of his work and says the love scenes with Nicole Kidman are like poetry, he said.
Okay, take it easy.
Well, I hope that it's dirty limericks. It's the only poetry I care about, really, when it comes to banging. And he says filming couldn't have been easier in a big epic like that. He said it was amazing how Baz Luhrmann had everything completely under control and it was a breeze to shoot.
Wow.
So, and check that out. I think it opens this weekend, I think.
Does it?
Oh, wow. Great.
Maybe next weekend. I don't know. And then we got that freaking Twilight this weekend.
Yeah. You have
I'll see whatever I can to avoid that.
You have tickets for that, right?
For the premiere, premiere. You'd like to go to Twilight, and you'd like to go to the Twilight premiere, you dial 1-800-555-GO-F-YOURSELF.
Is that a number?
Yeah.
It seems like too many.
It's a foreign number.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the country code first. Freaking emails. I have to see it. I have to see it. What then? Save your pennies, plop down your $10 when it comes out, and go see it. Freaking twihards.
Twihards.
Let's take a look at a celebrity birthday, shall we, and see who shares my birthday.
That's right.
November the 17th.
Today's the day. Birthday. How about
Let's see what astrology says, if I have anything in common with these people.
Okay.
Let's see. Movie director Martin Scorsese. Genius. Yeah, check that off. Good. Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels, creator of one of the most successful television shows in history. Genius. Yeah, check that off. Actress model Daisy Fuentes.
Hot.
Smoking hot sexy. Check that off. Actress Leslie Bibb from ER and Popular. Also smoking hot and sexy. Check that off. Actress Rachel McAdams.
Wow.
From The Notebook and Wedding Crashers. Smoking sexy hot. Check that off as well. Sophie Marceau from Braveheart. Equally sexy. You'll take that one. Danny DeVito. Well, funny. I'll take that.
Successful.
Funny, successful. Funny's good. And singer Gordon Lightfoot? What?
No,
we are not.
Come on.
Nope.
Legend. You should be so lucky, Ralph.
So there is nothing to astrology. I think we've just proven the point. How sad. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We're serious about stopping this Twilight movie, by the way. We're going to talk about that in about 50 minutes. We found out that two of the people that work here at K-Rock are twihards. At least two that we know of so far.
And
we're going to say what's up with that coming up.
Twihards.
Yeah,
I mean, really,
heard that.
Can't you come up with a cooler name?
they can't be.
I'm not even
with that.
Trying.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ 6:11 Monday morning. 2 months from this week, President Obama will be sworn in on the steps of the Capitol. He and his wife Michelle will be moving into the White House that day, and they will get new Secret Service code names, I guess. And there's been a lot of conversation about this, and I don't know why they release Secret Service code names. It doesn't make any sense to me, but we thought we'd get an expert on. We have Ken Linsman on the phone. He is the press liaison for the United States Secret Service, and he joins us from Washington, D.C. right now. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. How are you, fellas?
Very good. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Why do you release code names?
20. Yeah, we got 20 on the Renegade. All right, I'm on the phone. I'm 20 out. Okay.
Oh, Renegade, that's Barack Obama.
Yes, that's right. We've just announced all the Secret Service codes, and President-elect Obama will be going as Renegade.
Why do you announce the code names? It seems to me like it's not code any longer.
Well, it's really, there's nothing top secret about them. There's no security significance. It just makes communications easier amongst the Secret Service here when we're dealing with, moving the primary targets and that kind of thing.
But if you're going to... I mean, if it doesn't mean anything and it's not secret, why don't you just call him Barack Obama? I mean, that's
because it's more fun. Hey, Renegade. Hey, how's it going, Renegade? That's just it's like when you're a fraternity, you give each other names like Strokey.
Sure, yeah.
has any U.S. president ever been referred to as Strokey as a Secret Service code name?
Reagan, towards the end.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, that's kind of sad. Now, of course, the current first family that'll be moving out during the inaugural ceremony, the Bushes, they also had matching Secret Service code names?
Absolutely. President George W. Bush was Trailblazer.
Okay.
And his wife was Tempo.
Tempo?
Tempo.
What kind of dumb name is that?
Well, it actually started as Tiempo, which, as you know, in Spanish means time, because she's a good time.
Oh, I see. Okay. Wow.
And then we just shortened it to Tempo.
I see.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It's kind of fast. I have a blast making these up.
I'll bet you do.
Yeah. Oh, so you're the guy who actually is in charge of assigning names to everybody.
I am. I'm in charge. I go out with a pal of mine, Mel, and we have a couple beers, and we write them down on the cocktail napkins.
For all right, so okay. President-elect Obama is Renegade.
Renegade.
What about his wife?
The wife, Michelle Obama, is Renaissance.
Renaissance.
Yes. And what does that mean? What's the significance of that, Ken?
The Renaissance was a period of time when, I don't know, I just know it was a period of time. I'm not a big history buff. But
aren't you worried that Renegade and Renaissance, let's say there's just a temporary drop in the, in your walkie-talkies or whatever the hell you guys talk into. I mean, don't you think those sound a little alike?
Yeah, they're pretty close.
Renaissance, Renegade?
That sounds different to me, but what do I know? I'm not in your line of work. You probably have better ears for that kind of thing than I do. Renaissance.
There's a lot of Ren there. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. The daughters are Rosebud and Radiance, so it gets even worse.
Oh, they are. Rosebud and Radiance.
Yeah. Rosebud, by the way, was a sled, if you never saw Citizens game.
What?
Yeah, it's true.
Sled?
We've got code names for everyone. We've got, of course, Rawhide was Ronald Reagan's famous nickname.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Makes sense.
Right.
Al Gore, his code name was just Al Gore because he was so boring we couldn't come up with one.
Too boring?
Yeah.
Just Al Gore.
President-elect Joe Biden, mm-hmm. Vice President-elect, he'll be known as Celtic.
Celtic?
Yeah.
Celtic, okay.
Yeah. He's an Irish drinker. Okay. So we've come up with names for everyone. In fact, because I had to make this phone call, this does fall under the National Secret Service Act, and I had to come up with code names for all of you as well. So when I communicate with my superiors, they'll know who I'm talking about.
Why don't you just – I'm going to ask again. I know this is a dumb question, but why don't you just use our names?
I'm down to the 20. Yeah, I'm talking to Window Liquor. I'll be right back.
Wait a minute.
Is that Kevin?
Wait a minute. Which one of us is Window Liquor?
That'd be you.
How come I have to be Window Liquor?
How come you have to ask why you're Window Liquor?
Come on.
Maybe that's why.
That stuns me.
Nice. Come on.
Because you talk to somebody on the phone, they have to get a Secret Service code name?
Absolutely. You have to be clear in case we have any emergencies, we know who we're talking about. Lisa May there, of course, is known as Tuna Salad.
Oh.
Tuna Salad, okay. Yeah. All right.
Dave, the King of Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
He's Turtleneck.
Yep.
Yeah. That works at a couple of levels, doesn't it, Ken?
Some girl gave him that. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
You have a Mike Catherwood who works there?
We do, yeah. Yep. Psycho Mike.
He's known as Gaper.
Gaper?
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently he's got a...
Yeah, I think we get it.
Something that gapes on the fella. Yeah.
You get it, yeah.
And it's got gay right in the name.
You got Omar? A guy named Omar?
Yes,
right
we do. Yeah. Yes, we do.
His code name is Gold Bond.
Gold Bond?
Gold Bond.
Apparently they both deal a lot with medicated powder.
Yeah, well,
gotcha.
Yes, they do.
That's true.
All right.
And Bean, your code name is Asshole.
Wait a minute. How's code name Asshole? What is that about?
Dude, we had no other choice. It seemed so obvious.
Really?
Yeah.
Any other name was tossed out, or you just went right to Asshole?
It just seemed to fit.
Yeah, wow. Yeah.
Wow, that hurts.
I got Window Liquor and Asshole. All right.
Who's asking you who you have on the phone?
That'd be President-elect Obama.
He wants to know who you're talking to.
Yeah. At all times.
And he knows who Window Liquor and Asshole are?
Oh, don't we all?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Wow.
That doesn't seem good.
All right, Window Liquor, whatever you say.
Let me just read one email to kind of give you an idea of what our life is like when we answer our emails these days. Hey, Kevin, Bean, Ralph, Lisa May, Ding, Alex, and Mike. So I'm an obsessed Twilight fan, and I'm really bitter that you drove me to the point of listening to Ryan effing Seacrest last week to win tickets to the world premiere of Twilight. I emailed Ralph over a month ago asking when you guys would be doing a contest to give away tickets to the red carpet premiere, and I never heard back.
A-hole.
I'm already planning on going down to the theater to watch the stars walk the red carpet from across the street. I've already taken the day off work, so if you guys have any tickets, please, I would do anything for them. This could be like Super Bowl tickets. I mean, bring on the tattooist. I'm down for whatever. I'm a huge fan. These books have changed my life in a lot of ways, Kevin Bean. I have tickets to see the movie twice next weekend, and will probably have seen it 10 times by Sunday. But nothing in this whole world would compare to getting the chance to attend the red carpet premiere. By the way, how can you guys just now be wondering what's up with Twilight? It's only the most amazing series of books ever written, ever.
Oh, my God.
Please let me compete for the tickets. I would seriously do anything, anything. Oh, yeah, only 4 days, 8 hours, and 23 minutes to go till Twilight. Sincerely, Nicole.
Look, I love vampires.
Love.
Yes. I know you do.
Love. That's why I watch True Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm excited to see this, but it looks more like a love story than a vampire story.
Well, it is.
To me.
It
totally looks like Vampires for Girls. That's exactly what it looks like.
Here's what drives me crazy. I don't know if you've seen the trailer yet, but the girl is standing there outside what looks like high school, and a mm-hmm. van turns and comes right at him, and the guy stops it with his hand.
Right.
And then she says, you know, you're faster than usual, and you can do things that most people can't do. Tell me your story. And he goes, I'm more interested in your guesses. Why don't you tell me what you think it is? And I, at that point, I yell. I go, no, why don't you just tell her what the deal is?
He can't tell her what the deal is.
I'm
this
more interested in your guesses. F you.
In their relationship. And
F
he can't
him.
Tell her. It could endanger her life. You don't know anything.
I know everything.
Why don't you
All right.
read a book?
We have a couple of people here at K-Rock who are twihards.
Yeah. That's extreme.
Which, by the way, is just, I mean, come on with that. Come on. Twihard.
I don't know.
Really?
That
That's the best you can do? Let's talk to Aisa, who I personally love. She runs our promotions. Good morning, Aisa.
Good morning. It's a little early. It's daylight for me right now, so I don't know if I can be awake.
See, because Aisa
did there.
Sleeps during the day and
right.
then gets up at night.
Aisa, was it always Twihards? Was there ever a consideration for another name before you guys settled on Twihard?
Well, no. I mean, seriously, Twihard, it just works. It
on works. Which level? On a porn level. That's it.
Aisa, have you been reading the books in order since they started coming out a few years ago?
Yes, I was absolutely one of those dorks that had the books on pre-order and had to wait. I would finish one in, you know, a day or two, and then had to wait for just for the moment the next one came out. It was torture.
Do you already have tickets for the movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I have tickets for Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night.
You do not.
Wait, say that again. How many times are you going?
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And possibly Saturday if I can get extra tickets on Saturday.
Oh.
What if the movie sucks?
Who cares if the movie sucks? They're beautiful.
You might by airing three. I mean, by Thursday night, if it sucks, you're going to be going, wow.
I don't care.
Did you say they're beautiful?
They're beautiful.
They are beautiful.
They are.
But, they're the most beautiful creatures alive.
Vampires or these people?
These vampires.
These vampires.
Vampires. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, also on the phone, Bean, I don't know if you were on the phone or not. I don't think so. But Aisa told us on Friday after the show that she was on Team Evan.
What's Team Evan?
Team Edward, Kevin.
Team Edward.
Oh, for God.
What does that mean?
It means there's a character named Edward and a whole group of fans apparently are on his side.
Oh, my God. It's not even this character named Edward is the book.
Yeah, he is. He's the one that Bella falls in love with.
He's the vampire.
He's the vampire.
Yeah.
Okay, what other teams are there then?
There's Team Jacob, who is a shapeshifter.
Whatever with that. You know?
Wait. I have to tell you something. I told this to Kevin on Friday. My friend Dalen came up with a new phrase. You know, in instant message or when you're writing, you say OMG.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We say OME. Oh, my Edward.
Oh, Aisa. See, this is why you're never going to get married.
Exactly.
You have to marry.
Wait a minute. Aisa, do you remember what I told you on the phone after you told me that you changed it to OME?
I block out everything you say.
Never tell that to another human being.
Man, this is f***ing weak.
Since you're on Team Edward, do you hate the people who are on Team Jacob?
Yes, you have to.
Are they rivals for something? Are they both trying to get to win a girl or something?
Yes.
They are. They're both trying to win over Bella.
Are they both vampires?
No.
No. Not. No. Jacob is a shapeshifter werewolf. But he's in love with her. And you kind of get this whole, you know, back and forth between Edward and Jacob. But ultimately, you have to pick a side. You can't stay in the middle. You have to choose one.
OME, by the way.
OME, yeah.
Makes, and I love Aisa, but I
love you.
I really do, but I want to punch you right now.
You want to run her over with your car, don't you?
I really do. And I've never had this reaction to Aisa before.
Now, let me ask you this, because I know that you read more books than any person that I know. You read all the time. Aisa is one of those people, somehow that's her thing. She's reading a book a week or something. What is it about Twilight that makes you so much more invested in this than all the other books you read every year?
Honestly, I think it's the, you know, it's the guilty pleasure of reading something that is, the book is very descriptive, it's very interesting, and it's not only written for, you know, a younger reader, but it's also written for an adult. So you get into it, and it's just the whole love story of angle of it, but at the same time, it gives you a different, I don't know, just it's magical, I guess, is the word I'm looking for.
And it's such a different take on vampires,
it
too.
It's
totally really
is.
Cool and creative what she did with this story.
Forgive me if I come off as being stupid, but doesn't this seem like the, I don't know how to describe it, the Disneyfication of a vampire story? I mean, doesn't it seem like
no,
it's...
No, I mean, there's still no, evil vampires out there.
Yeah, the angle is that there's still the part of, you know, vampires that are bad. They're still evil. They're absolutely.
But how bad are they? I mean, do they go around like tossing their trash on people's yards and stuff?
No, they go killing, draining their blood, and people dying.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm in on that.
You got that.
I don't know. Edward's hair looks like it gets messed up sometimes in the trailer. I mean, there's that.
Well, Well, that's totally different. That's the movie. That's the impression that you get in the trailer is see, the thing is that you hope that it's as close as what you picture in your mind in the book, and it never is. But
no, right.
It's pretty damn good.
Oh, I can't wait till next week when all of the Twihards start complaining that it's not like the books.
Well, I think the author was very involved, so it's going to be pretty close.
Hey, at least I wasn't in line at Harry Potter dressed like, you know.
Oh, like there's a difference. Come on. You have to admit there's no difference.
Yes, there's a difference. Those are witches. No one likes witches. We like vampires.
Wow. All right, Asa, we're gonna let you go and go back and sleep on your Twilight bedspread or whatever you got going on at your house.
Your Edward pillow.
We're going to take some more calls from other Twihards at 1-800-520-1067. But thanks for getting up early and talking to us, all right?
I love you guys.
Hey, Aisa, you know you said that O-M-E thing out loud, right?
O-M-E.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. All right. Thank you. We have other people here at K-Rock that are obsessed. Yep. And
all women, I bet, right?
Well, yes.
The men won't admit it.
Listen, I love vampire stories. I really do love. And I probably will go see this because it's a vampire story. But it just looks like it's...
Well, it definitely has some romance.
It looks super girly. It looks like a super girly take on vampires.
Yes, that's what it is. It looks super, super girly.
I'd like to hear from people who think that we'd love it. I want to hear from people who think that we're missing out on Twilight, and it really is, like the emailer Nicole said, the best series of books ever written, and that we're dumbasses if we don't see it. I want to hear what we're really missing.
I want to believe. I love vampires. I love anything having to do with vampires. So I think I'm in, but I'm just afraid I'm going to walk away going, wow, did I need more estrogen to enjoy that? That's my fear. All right, 1-800-520-1067.
We're talking about rounding up all the Twihards, the people who are diehard Twilight fans of the books, looking forward to the movie coming out this Friday, and then just gassing them. That's what we're talking about doing, just putting them all down.
I'm hoping that it's good. I think I'm in, but because I love vampire, I love everything vampire.
Yeah.
But these are pretty vampires.
Let's talk to Flood real quick before we go to our own Casey who works here. Flood is calling us, believe it or not, from Sacramento, listening at KRock.com, and he's in a world of hurt this week. Hey, Flood, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Hey, not much. Just dealing with the wife, you know?
What does that mean? What's the problem?
Oh, man, she's gone just nutty ridiculous about this stuff. Just she had to leave the house at 11:30 at night to go get the books at midnight, you know?
Wow.
She's talking about Edward like he's a real person.
Hey, he is, by the way.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Team Edward.
And, well, she's got this group, too, of married friends, you know, there's like five of them, that I thought were adults, and now I'm really questioning it, actually. But we got a four-year-old daughter, and, you know, one day she came to me, she's like, well, Mommy told me about Edward. Edward did this. I'm like, Edward who? What are you talking about?
Wow.
And, yeah, I didn't know what she was talking about.
So your wife is talking about this person as if it's real?
Yes.
Wow.
And now, see, my wife's pregnant, too, and I really, really fear for the next child.
You're in so much trouble.
I fear what's coming out, you know?
I've read about stories where people fall in love with imaginary characters and then no one in their real life can ever compete. So eventually, Flood, you're going to be in divorce court and you're going to find out that she's leaving you because you're not Edward.
Oh, don't think I don't have a lawyer on retainer now.
Yeah, you should.
I'm plotting the demise.
And here's the weird thing about vampire movies and those of us that like vampire stories and stuff like that is they're almost always disappointing. Yeah. It seems like there are so many where you go, oh, this is going to be great. And then you go and it's like, well, it was good. I don't know. It just seems like nothing has really killed it in a while, so to speak. But apparently this one's, you know.
Thanks for the call, Flood.
Let's
talk to Janet with two N's. She's in Bellflower, and she's on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Janet, welcome to the show. You're a Twihard?
Good morning.
Kylie is a man.
Hi.
You're a Twihard?
Oh, definitely. Hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you got to add?
Oh, when the Entertainment Weekly came out last week, mm-hmm. I went crazy getting all three covers. I went to like 6 bookstores just to get the one of Edward.
They had special collector editions.
Because you're Team Edward? Yeah. You're on Team Edward?
Oh, yes, definitely. And when I got this shirt, I'm hoping that I get it before the movie comes out because I'm going to a midnight show also. I got a shirt that says, I suffer from OCD, obsessive colon disorder, because that's Edward's last name. Cool, right?
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. You're the coolest.
You are. All my friends were like, oh, that's awesome. Even a person that I work with, because her daughter loves them too, and she, you know, she's in the phase of her being people calling her Bella. So, because she loves them too. Like, okay. She's going to get it, Janet, for her for Christmas. What?
Janet, first of all, you need help. But second of all, did you really tell our phone screener that you wish you were in love with a vampire because it's so awesome?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. What are we going to do with you?
You know how many babies are going to be named Bella in the next few years?
Yes.
You know what? I have one daughter, and I'm just thinking about it.
Don't do it. You have to understand that when your kid grows up to be in high school, Twilight's going to be for old people, and Bella's going to get beaten up because of that.
No, it's going to continue on forever.
Janet, don't worry. You won't get a man. There's no danger of you
getting
pregnant.
That's a good point.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Nope.
Yeah, for now, temporarily.
We just talked to him on the other line. He's not happy.
Exactly. Thank you for the call, my dear. Hey, let's talk to Casey. Now, she has the worst job in show business. We've spoken with her from time to time. Her actual employment here at K-Rock is to sit in a little room with no windows and listen to every second of the Kevin and Bean show. So when you call in and say bad words, she hits a button and they don't get on the air. Like, she hasn't already suffered enough. And maybe Twilight's the only thing that's getting her through this week. I don't know. Hey, Casey, welcome back.
What's going on, guys?
That's what she does instead of listening is she sits online and researches Twilight.
Sure.
That's what she does.
I can't deny that.
How many times are you going to the movie after it opens, Case?
I actually have tickets for two different times. I'm going to the Arclight at midnight, and I'm also going the following day to the Arclight in Sherman Oaks because the director is doing a question and answer thing.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
I'm the person who likes watching movies with commentary.
Yeah.
So this is kind of like my commentary.
Is it true that you think you're better than all of the Twihards?
Oh, Alex, you're going to die.
Is that true?
Yeah,
because you're not them. You're not that pathetic.
No, why do you think that? Okay, I am the person who knew about this because of stupid flair and bumper stickers on Facebook. And I looked at all that trash, and I'm going, oh, no way. I am not touching that stuff with a 10-foot pole.
Right, but that's irrelevant. Do you think you're better than Twihards?
Who calls them that? Really? I'm one of those people who was very reluctant to read it, kind of picked it up, and then said, oh, crap, I like it.
So you're better than everyone.
I'm not saying I'm better than those people, but I'm not one of those screaming little obsessive. Mm. But like those people make us look bad.
And who's us?
If you've already bought tickets to two of the movie showings this weekend, though, you are those people.
No. I'm not the person who like waits outside like their hotel rooms to take like pictures of the cast.
Oh, you would
like,
in a heartbeat. Cast. Are you kidding me?
I would not.
How many other movies have you bought tickets for to see two showings of it in 1 week that have come out in the last, I don't know, 3 or 4 years?
I wasn't intending on buying it twice. I actually bought the director's
Q&A one
first.
The answer is none?
Not pre-bought, but I have seen the same movie in the same weekend multiple times.
Okay. And Casey, just to keep my streak alive, you are also unmarried?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Oh, come on, dude. The girl who just called is married. It has nothing to do with
it. She lied. How many Hot Topics have you been to when the cast is there?
Zero.
Oh, Casey.
Zero.
We cannot get along with you if you're going to lie.
Oh, whatever, man.
You said something derogatory about the term Twihard. Is that not the term you like to use?
No, there shouldn't be a term. That sounds really dumb. Like
it doesn't do it justice, does it? Oh, it sounds pathetic, does it? Come on.
It mocks your love.
This is just like the 909ers. No. Every single one of them go, hey, my part of the 909. My part of the 909 is great. It's the other parts that give it a bad name.
That's an excellent point.
Wow.
Casey, have you seen, Role Models? Have you seen the Paul Rudd movie Role Models yet?
I did.
Okay. Christopher Mintz-Plasse, who lives in his little Dungeons & Dragons fairy tale world where he goes out and dresses up like a knight or whatever it is and has sword battles with foam. That's you and the Twihards. You guys are exactly the same as though people where you're living in a little fantasy world because your real life sucks.
Well, yeah, my real life sucks. I sit here listening to you fools.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's a good point.
Hard to argue.
And we're going to hang up on you. Thank you. Let's talk to Katie, who is calling from Torrance. Katie, good morning.
Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hello.
Tell us about your dad being a Twihard.
Oh, yeah. Well, apparently he found the book at my stepsister's house, and he completely fell in love with it. He was like, guys, you got to check out this book. It's so great. And he told us about it, and, you know, it's everywhere at high schools right now. You
of
can't
course.
Sit without hitting somebody wearing an Edward Belongs to Me or My Heart Belongs to Edward shirt. And I'm like, Dad, you know that'd be the equivalent of listening to a Jonas Brothers CD and liking it.
Excellent point.
Comparison. You're going to come down on your dad when you wear a shirt that says, My Heart Belongs to Edward.
No, I don't
wear the shirts. Other girls at school wear the shirts.
Oh, it's everyone else.
I don't think it's that different from Harry Potter. Tons of adults read Harry Potter.
No, I agree.
And loved it.
If it's a good author, which that was, and it's a really, you know, entertaining story, which that was.
And these are too.
It's kind of for everybody.
Sure.
But you people with your twihards and you're lining up at midnight and all your BS, you need to stop it. Going to, you know, showing up by the thousands to Hot Topic because Edward's going to be there selling shirts or whatever it is
he
does.
Yeah, they had to call security, I think.
Come on, people.
Thank you for the call. Hey, let's talk to Corey real quick before we go. I know we don't have much time, but this looks like it may be a dude who's a fan.
Okay, Corey in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Yes, I'm a dude.
Barely.
Hi, Corey.
Just barely.
Well, Corey, is it true that you've read each book 7 times?
Yes.
Wow.
Because let me show you how it started. Let me tell you how it started.
Please do.
Okay.
It was
help us out
a book report, and my teacher gave me the book, and I was like, okay, cover looks cool. Let me just read it.
Mm-hmm.
Got through the 7 chapters or so. I loved it. I was loco for Twilight. And, you know, and after I read it, I couldn't just, you know, sit it down. I have to read it again. So my friend had it. And I asked her, why didn't you tell me? And she gave it to me. And I had to buy the rest of the books because she wouldn't give up hers.
Bitch!
I read them all 7 times. I think I know everything that happens. I'm pretty sure I do. I'm not going to, you know, wait till 12 on Thursday to go see the movie because
you can find a screening at 10 p.m.?
I can't tell you that information.
But yeah, sure.
So. But still, because, like, I don't want to hear all the screaming fans. I want to be in Twilight, like,
but
hear
you're,
it.
But you're going to be one of the screaming fans.
I know, but still, because I don't want, like, when something happens, I don't want to say, that's my baby, Edward. Oh, my God.
I think you will.
Corey said he wants to be in Twilight. He doesn't want to be on this side of the movie screen. He wants to be in the movie. He can't get close enough to Twilight.
If it is possible, I would sit so close that I would have to use a ladder to physically
put
my face inside the screen.
All right, Corey.
Okay, well, you're right. You're not crazy at all.
I'm not crazy.
Enough said.
I think I'm perfectly normal. I would
just sounds
the,
like it.
I would wear
like
the Edward t-shirts. I would tattoo it on my forehead.
So. Ah, that's even better. All right. Thanks for the...
Very scary people. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call.
All right. I can't wait.
Twilight.
Hey,
I hope it's good because I love vampires. I watch
will
True
let
Blood.
You know.
Do you watch True Blood?
I don't.
Well, then you're bad.
I ran out of time.
All right.
I'll let you know.
Twihard.
All right.
We have an advanced screening at K-Rock on Thursday night. If you'd like to go to that, the website is www. com.
By the way, Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde is this afternoon from 5 till 6. Not only do we have tickets for you to win to see Metallica coming up at the Forum, but our old friend Mike Shinoda from the band Linkin Park is going to be stopping by. What's he talking about, Kevin? What's he coming by for today?
New
you know?
DVD.
Fantastic. So we'll talk all things Linkin Park between 5 and 6 this afternoon here on the world-famous K-Rock. Right now, 6:58, Ralph Garman is here with the Showbiz Beat from Monday. What's going on?
Before I get to the Showbiz news, I want to give you the heads up. As I did last year, that the Maverick Theater down in Fullerton, California is once again putting on their live stage adaptation of the classic film Santa Claus Conquers the Martians.
Oh.
One of the greatest movies ever made.
And by greatest,
one of the greatest,
worst,
you mean?
Maybe the worst movie ever made.
So bad, it's good.
It's spectacular.
Yeah.
It is the worst bad movie, and so thereby comes full around to being the best movie.
In the category of horrible movies.
Ever! it's an amazing production. They do it live on stage down there in Fullerton, California. It's the Maverick Theater. For more information, you can go to mavericktheater.com. And it kicks off November the 21st. So this coming weekend is their first show. Plays all the way through December the 28th. So it's a perfect show to take the kids to, because you will laugh because it's horrible, and the kids will love it because it's Santa Claus and goofy Martians.
Perfect.
So, some years, I don't remember the last time we did it, Ralph, but some years you bring in the DVD and host a special Movie Beat version of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, because it is unbelievable.
Last year was the first time we did it because we heard about this production.
We may have to do that again.
So many people were not aware of the magic of Santa Claus Conquers the Martians, so maybe we'll do it again around the holiday season.
And that's a true story, by the way.
But
it is.
The reason I give you the heads up is because this thing sold out last year, so I want to make sure people can go if they want to check it out. Also, some business they care before I get to the news. I heard you guys talking to those twihards.
Sure.
And I'm just getting an ass full of these people. Not the twihards specifically, but just in general, anybody who just gets way too wrapped up
You mean like say they had a huge room in their house dedicated to a TV show
type of thing? That's like my thing I do at home. But I don't go out, you know, marching in the streets or, you know, carrying banners or...
That we know of.
Well.
That is true.
You have to take my word for it. I got this email. It just kind of spun me out. Ralph, I need your help. As you know, Lipstick Jungle's on the chopping block at NBC. There's a large following for this show. A lot of blogs are trying to voice opinions about keeping it on the air. One of these suggested the following, and I think it's great. Have anyone you know send a tube of lipstick to the head of NBC?
Yes. Yes.
Let's bombard this guy with so much lipstick, he won't know what to do.
Ralph, yes. I read about that this weekend on Lisa May's blog.
And here's
what?
The funny thing.
At krock.com. Lisa May is talking about sending lipstick in.
But I didn't know there was actually a movement. I was just joking.
No, please. I don't
totally
believe that.
No, I totally just made it up to be
funny. You whore.
You were being funny based on the nuts thing?
Yes. Yeah. Lipstick Jungle. It's pretty damn obvious. But yeah. I was just being funny. I'm not sending anyone lipstick.
Okay, we're going to check your mail. We are going to check your mail.
Can you incorporate in this Showbiz report on Monday, Ellen? What? See? See what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's right here.
Oh, I
right
know.
Right here in our own room.
I was just joking.
Right here in our own room.
She was pretty peppy about the Twilight conversation, too, by the way. She's pretty much into that
this
as well.
This is why women are horrible.
Yes. Because we don't everything, like what you
everything,
like.
No, because when you like something, it's like, oh, I wish I was in it, and I'm going to wear my T-shirt and scream. Oh, stop it. Just stop it sending lipsticks and oh, my Edward and all of it. Just stop it.
Oh, my Edward.
Stop it.
Stupid Lisa.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. James Mother Effin' Bond.
Is he a vampire?
No, he's just a regular
it's
dude.
Not any good. Don't care.
I wish I could love a vampire.
She was the best.
What?
No, I'd be against that.
Quantum of Solace made $70 million this weekend.
Only that much?
That's all it made. Failure. Losers. $70 million.
I will guarantee you Twilight's going to make more than that on Friday. Friday to Sunday? You don't think so?
No.
Really?
You think it's going to make more than $70 million?
Yes.
I don't think so either.
I'll bet you $100 that doesn't happen.
More than $70
million. I'll bet you $100 that doesn't happen.
I'm with Ralph on this.
Really?
I'll bet you $100 that doesn't happen.
Movies don't come along that make $70 million long. I mean, this one has 40 years of fans built up.
Don't be on my side. I'm trying to win $100 here.
Okay.
I think $40 million is possible.
How about $40 for $70 million?
$40 for $70?
Yeah.
Done.
All right.
Because I think this is a very vocal minority.
But I think they're all going to go seven times this weekend.
This is a niche group of lunatics who are really hot on this. This is the definition of cult following.
Right, but see it 2-3 times in a weekend.
But how many dudes are going to go? Quantum of Solace, you've got every dude in the world loves James
Bond,
right. And every chick in America loves Daniel Craig and wants to see him shirtless. So you're doubling up your audience stop a truck.
He does it with his hand, man. You know?
I don't know. I'll be curious to see.
I think Ralph just made $40, by the way.
I'll be curious to collect my 40 mother effing ducats, yo.
Kevin Skrilla. Does not disappoint.
Skrilla, yo. Madagascar, Escape to Africa. It's number 2 at the box office. Made $36 million this weekend. Top 2 movies made over $100 million at the box office. Role Models was 3. High School Musical 3 was 4. Changeling 6 was 5. Zach and Miri Make a Porno 8 was 7. Huh? Soul Man 2 makes 6. I'm sorry, I'm all confused now. Secret Life of Bees, Saw 5, and The Haunting of Molly Hartley round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of movies, our good pal Guillermo del Toro has announced he is making a new version of Pinocchio. Jim Henson Company is going to help him produce.
Is Pinocchio a vampire?
No, he's just a puppet who comes to life.
Okay. Does he do cool things with his nose?
You'd like that, wouldn't you, Lisa?
Well, that's my first thought.
He loves puppets, doesn't he? Guillermo, that's his thing.
He does.
It is?
Well, he was a puppeteer, remember, and did a lot of puppet work for other movies before he started directing his own, and they all have to do with little puppets. It's amazing.
That's why he does all of his special effects live action because he loves the workings of mechanical special effects and stuff. Doesn't do a lot of process shots. He likes to actually have it in the room because he's a big puppet fan. Hmm.
I work with people with no lives.
Dude, he said it to you on the show.
That's what I learned about it.
To you. He said it to you.
That happened.
This isn't something we read in some obscure blog. He said it out loud to your face.
And you know why I dismissed it? Dumb. Who cares?
Irrelevant. You don't have to care, but you think you remember if a dude told you.
Dude, I can't remember things that I do care about. Things that I don't care about, I just dismiss.
You saw Pan's Labyrinth and loved it, and that's part of what made that movie so magical is how great his special effects were.
Hey, easy, easy. Guillermo Hards? Take it easy here.
I could love a puppeteer.
He said the new version of Pinocchio will have a twist to it. When he comes to life, he won't be a nice boy. He'll be
a vampire!
He'll be creating mischief and playing mean tricks on people. See what he's done there? He's done a twist. Oh, I hope he kicks over a tent pole and calls white guys Ben Affleck. Yeah, that'd be so cute.
That's been done. That's role model.
Jackholes. And finally, someone has stepped up and is creating a TV series based on the life of Criss Angel.
Oh, no.
Are you kidding me?
Actor turned writer Chris Moynihan has set up a sitcom based on the life of magician Criss Angel at NBC, reports Variety newspaper.
Is he going to mock him?
No. It's a comedy based on Angel's experience as an up-and-coming magician. It's a workplace comedy set in the world of magic. It's all over, people. We're done.
Wow.
We got the Twihards, Lisa sending people lipstick, and now Criss Angel sitcom. We got that.
Twihards don't look so bad from the Criss Angel viewpoint. What the hell?
That is a horrible idea.
It's a bad time. It's a bad time to be an American. Bad time to be alive. That's what's going on.
The terrorists have won.
The terrorists have won. And the vampires won, too, apparently. Today's celebrity birthdays, director Martin Scorsese is 66 years old today. Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels turned 64. Danny DeVito is also 64. Daisy Fuentes is 42. How hot is Daisy Fuentes still,
fantastic,
by the way?
Yeah.
Sure pretty doesn't great. Look 42.
Pretty hot.
Magical. Sophie Marceau is 42. Oh. Leslie Bibb turns 35. Rachel McAdams is 30. Ronnie DeVoe of Belle Biv DeVoe is 41. Turns 70. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So, I didn't get to the James Bond movie this weekend, but apparently everybody else did.
$70 million is something.
I was talking about $70 million, yeah. Psycho Mike, you saw the film, right?
Yeah, totally.
How's the Bond theme play? How's the Jack White, Alicia Keys, Another Way to Die theme play in the movie?
Solid. It comes right after the big action sequence, the opening action sequence. And during the movie, as the song was playing, my friends and I all looked at each other and we were commenting on how good that song is. Just awesome.
Yeah. There's a every year that the Bond movie comes out, there are musical artists who are just auditioning for the role. I mean, they're begging to do it because you almost always get a hit record out of it. I mean, there's been, 15 hits or something like that out of people who have done James Bond things. Everybody from Paul McCartney to Madonna to, Sheryl Crow. Chris Cornell did the last one, the Casino Royale theme last year. And it was funny because when we first started hearing details about Quantum of Solace and they were starting to put everything together, there was a little bit of a controversy over who was going to end up doing the theme song. They decided on Jack White and Alicia Keys. But remember, Kevin, when Amy Winehouse was almost volunteering her services?
Yeah, I think they made the right call. I think they chose wisely with Jack White.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Alicia Keys because, we did talk to Amy Winehouse about that time, about her desire to do the theme to James Bond.
Oi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. We're looking for Amy, please.
Yeah, this is Amy.
Okay.
How's it going, mate?
Well, we're fine. How are you feeling? These latest pictures I've been seeing of you on TMZ.com, I got to be honest, you're looking kind of rough.
No, I've never felt better.
Is that really?
Really, I'm top of my game. I can't wait for this song to come out and get me back on the charts where I belong.
Okay, just before we go back to the song, is that a diaper you're wearing in the picture?
I'm not at liberty to say,
okay.
Really.
Right. Okay.
Some people we call it a diaper.
Okay. It looks
Some
like it in this
people
photo.
We call it...
A diaper?
A diaper.
Okay. Yeah. Good enough.
Yeah, we just call it a diaper, really.
Okay. Okay. What? What? Oh, I don't want to ask. Whoa, Amy. Oh, come on. Are you all right?
It's leaking.
Oh,
about a quart low.
Okay, all right.
Amy, you are probably more famous now for your stints in rehab and all the troubles with the arrests and the drugs and everything else than you are for your music. And I think a lot of people are hoping that you get this Bond theme and that it takes you back to the top of the charts. People can start talking about your art rather than just your sad, pathetic personal life.
Yeah, that's what I want too. I want to be known for the music, for the art, not for, you know, whatever my husband's doing or I'm the drugs or whatnot. I think it's important just to focus on the fact that I'm a musician first.
Okay.
And a horribly scarred drug addict second. <I see.
laughs> Okay. Now, you said to the newspaper this week, I've done loads of Bond songs. There are loads of good ones I'm really happy with. Now, of course, we don't know officially whether they're going to accept one of your songs, but you've done more than one, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah. It just, once I started, it just pulled out of me.
Yeah.
Much like out of a diaper.
Yeah.
Oh, not.
Come on.
Hold the phone away.
We don't. This is. What? This is very unpleasant.
This is not. That's not sexy.
I have no control over my bowels whatsoever.
Oh. All right. Let's talk about the music. What can you tell us about these new songs?
Well, I've done three different versions of Quantum of Solace.
Quantum of Solace, okay.
Which is the name of the new Bond movie.
Right.
And I've done, like I say, once the process was started, it just pulled out of me. It came so easily.
Okay, okay.
And I'm right now, I'm calling you from my studio at home.
Okay. Oh, can we hear one of them?
It's a studio slash cocaine factory.
Okay.
they work at both ends of the business here.
Okay, sure.
And right now, we're just in the middle of laying down some tracks, so I'm very excited about
it. We'd love to hear anything you have for the Bond movie.
Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
You want to hear? All right. This is Quantum Solace 1.0, I call it.
Okay. All right.
All right. This is that. Quantum of Solace. Kelly Savalas.
I'm sorry.
Titan Tony Gonzalez. Cindy Margolis.
All right, you're just rhyming words now. That's not a song. I thought you said you had laid down some.
It is. That's right. It's 1.1.
That's a terrible song.
That's not a Bond theme right there.
That is a Bond theme.
All right. Do you have another one we might?
Yeah, go this one.
Okay. Okay, good.
Yeah, here we go. Ready?
Sounds good.
Quantum of Solace.
That's it? That's all you have?
Hold on. Oh, no.
Okay.
All right. With a quantum of solace, when I'm on a picnic, I want them to cold floss.
What?
When I have a quantum.
You're just making this up.
I've got a gaunt thumb.
What is a gaunt thumb? I don't know what that is.
Thumb. It's the skinny thumb.
Oh, I see. Okay, sorry.
I never flaunt gum.
Okay. All right.
Amy, that's
when I haunt a slum.
All right. Stop that right there.
I don't have an aunt. That's dumb.
That's not a song. Stop that.
Look at that taut drum.
Amy, according to the London Daily Star, you have loads of them that are done, that are really good, that you're happy with.
I'm happy with those two.
Okay. Are you now? All right. Is there one? I hate to ask. You've already rhymed quantum and you've rhymed solace. Is there one more?
Of course there's one more.
Excellent. I thought there might be.
Yeah, this is my favorite. I'm saving the best for that. This is Quantum of Solace 3.0.
Okay. All okay.
Right. All right, you ready for this?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Quantum of Solace, it's got a lot of solace. It's a quantum of solace.
Amy, you're just using other Bond themes. You're not.
James Bond once did a movie with Telly Savalas.
Can't go back to Telly Savalas.
Yes. Here we go.
But not with Tony Gonzalez.
I don't think you're ready for this yet.
He's a tight end.
Right.
In the NFL, yeah.
Plays football with his friends.
That's correct. Yeah.
Hey, Amy. All right. Amy, we're out of time.
Quantum of solace.
We're going to say adieu at this point, and thank you for your time,
I've
Amy.
I've got a quantum It's a gaunt plum.
You have a gaunt thumb?
I've got glum gum.
Okay.
But not in my diaper.
Oh, no, no. Come on.
What is this? Do you want to know?
Wow. Wow. Come on. You okay? Amy, you all right? Amy? Wow.
I just passed an ottoman.
It is truly, officially now starting today, the most wonderful time of the year. Am I right, you guys?
Well, when we start our Miss Double December contest, things are good.
That's true.
And we are here to announce that we are starting our Miss Double December 2009.
Yeah.
Go to krock.com. You can click on Kevin and Bean, and then there's a Miss Double December link. You go to that. You can see pictures of all our past Miss Double Decembers.
An attractive bunch, I think.
Yes. There's a video that's about, I don't know, 7 or 8 minutes long of highlights from our last coronation ceremony where everyone got completely smashed.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And remember when Ralph was hosting in his suit? Like mm-hmm. he does, and he makes the sash and everything. It's very formal, and he was right. asking him questions, and he said, if you could punch anybody in the face, who would it be? And one of our Miss Double Decembers was angry, and she was drunk, and she said, I'd punch everybody here in the effing face because they didn't vote for me.
No, she was that was a classy broad. I don't think she won.
No. Nope.
But it's so funny to go back and watch this video from a year ago, and we have all the details of everything you need to enter. You know, some of the basics like 21 and up, and they really do have to be double D's. But it's so funny to go back and watch this video and see how happy Cassidy was that day when she was crowned last year, and then to try to figure in your mind how quickly after that coronation did she lose complete interest in the show.
Like a week?
At what point did she turn on us?
She didn't
she
take
sure
advantage.
Was happy that day, wasn't she?
She didn't take advantage of her opportunity very much, but nope. We're doing it again. You had just submit some information about yourself, name, age, you know, or whatever age you want us to believe, email.
What celebrity would you like to be stranded on an island with? Important information that we need to make a decision.
Yeah, like 4 or 5 questions you have to answer. And then, so here's the calendar. Here's how it works. We are going to take submissions until Monday, November 24th, which is a week from today.
That's it?
Correct.
They have a week.
That's right.
They have a week.
Okay.
Get in your pictures. Get in whatever you have. Fill out the information. Then we're going to announce the top 10 a week from Wednesday, which is the day before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we come back from Thanksgiving, that's when we're going to have the girls in and they're going to do their talents.
So people can vote. Basically, once we announce the top 10, they
yes.
can start voting all the way through Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes. Wednesday, that's the 26th, right. We're going to announce the top 10. Okay. I don't know if you guys remember the talents last year. One of them was able to swallow her whole fist.
Yes.
Remember that?
Uh-huh. I do.
Was good.
She didn't win, but she did get some dates out.
That's true.
Out of that talent. It's awesome to watch this video, and it's also great to go to the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com and see the entry form for Miss Double December 2009. You should go anyway just to see pictures of all the past Miss Double D's, because it's just awesome to see, you know, Bridget and Melissa and Veronica and some of those early Double D's that we don't get to see all that much, and just remember good times, because it really is, it's fun for us, obviously, to hang out with Miss Double D, but of course, Miss Double D gets to come to Acoustic Christmas. Miss Double D gets to come to the K-Rock Weenie Roast and a lot of other events throughout the year if she chooses to.
Singles parties, so whatever you want. Yeah.
Singles party, yeah. So if you want to be part, this is kind of a way for you to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show by being named Miss Double December 2009. And you can enter starting right now. It is posted at krock.com, and you should.
Yes, and the important dates, again, are the top 10 are going to be announced next Wednesday, the 26th, and then Friday, December 5th. You're going to need to be available for our live broadcast as we crown somebody Miss Double December 2009. Right. Oh, it's such a good time of year, isn't
These
it?
These are like the hottest tits I've ever seen. Whoa. Check them out.
Whoa! I knew she had a hot rack.
Yeah.
Sure it is.
Uh-huh. Oh, my God. Those are so hot. Oh.
Here, I think, is the official theme song.
She has big, big boobs.
That's it.
Nice.
Short to the point.
Right. Yeah.
KROQ.com, Kevin and Bean page, Miss Double December 2009. Enter now.
Why aren't the pictures coming in yet from the Miss Double December contestants? Where are they?
Bean's a little obsessive about stuff.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, it's open. It's available. They can send in photos now. Why am I not seeing them?
Well, girls don't just necessarily.
fine too, but
do it today is what I'm saying.
Send us something in the meantime. Now, but here's the problem with our obsessive being is that most of the time we're able to ignore his the level of his obsession because he lives on an island and we're able to just block him out. He is in New York City today. Yeah. And the first thing he started complaining was he doesn't have the internet and he doesn't have TV.
He's staying in a place with no television.
Right. I'm not staying in a hotel. I'm staying in a friend's house who
is Amish, apparently.
Apparently so, yes. It's people who live there who don't care to be connected because they – well, the way they described it to me in the conversation that came up 80 times since Friday night when I arrived is – we don't really have time to screw around on the internet or watch TV because we have lives and we have things that we do and places that we go and we don't need to know
they
all that stuff. And I'm like,
and they do things? Really?
Yes. Wow. Yes. Thank you, Lisa. It's ridiculous, right?
And Bean has more and more spent just turned into a hermit. I mean, he lives on the internet now.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's his whole life. And he
and
gives
I
up
love
his
being
TV
at home.
For the internet.
I will send him an email any time of the day or night, it does not matter, and get a response within 17 seconds. He's on, he gets it, he responds, he's got a pager with all kinds of instant alerts and stuff
from
the LA Times and Google and all this different news sources, and it gets frustrating because we'll say, hey, I just saw the funniest thing, we should talk about this, and he'll go, saw it 2 weeks ago. Saw it last week.
So annoying.
Thank God for my iPhone, by the way. That's the only reason I was able to kind of keep up with what was going on with all the fires, you know, in Sylmar and Orange County and stuff, because I would get the bulletins every few minutes on my phone, thank God. But it was so weird this weekend because I, you know, everybody has their routine and there are shows that I watch that I like to watch in real time and even shows that I just like to watch on the same day. And Friday night, I started breaking out in hives because I had no Bill Maher. Saturday night, I started breaking out in hives because I had no SNL. Yesterday, there was no Meet the Press. There was no football. Well, you don't want to miss Meet the Press.
You recorded all of that except for football, right?
Yes, I have recorded all that. I will watch all of that when I get home. But it's not the same as being able to watch it when it's current and
but you're kind of on vacation. That's what you did this weekend.
Do you recognize that your obsession is getting out of hand?
I don't think it's unreasonable in 2008 to want to be in a place where you can see a television or go online.
Right, but
I mean, I'm not living in a castle in Scotland in 1500.
But do you break out in hives when you can't? Maybe you got a little problem.
See, this is why we're not watching TV. People get obsessed.
I'm just saying I like to stay current with the news. I mean,
Barack Obama was
on 60 Minutes last night. I couldn't watch it. You know how bad that makes me feel today?
Dude, your staying current is obsessive by anyone else's standards. I mean, most of us have lives and we go out places and we do things and we're way behind in our TV viewing.
Right.
And we don't have nearly the time to give to anything else because we have lives. But you don't have a life. So that's your life.
I do have a life.
So I'm saying maybe this week or this weekend or the rest of today, maybe just use it to break the habit. You don't need a constant IV news drip.
Yesterday.
You know what I mean? You don't need to know stuff as it happens. You can find out 10 minutes later.
I had to walk through Central Park with people and dogs. Okay, now I love dogs. Of course I do. But there was no way to watch news while I was doing that. I was away from news. I couldn't see what was happening around the world at that time because I was outside in the stupid fresh air in stupid Central Park.
And you were okay.
You could see what was happening in Central Park.
If news had broken out in Central Park, I would have been so happy. I would be like the first guy.
I wonder if I wonder if there's such a thing as like a rehab for people who are too connected.
I think there are people, it's not even connected to porn, who cannot get off their computers.
Email or news or whatever. They're obsessive.
You. Yeah.
There's got Dr. Drew. We need to get Dr. Drew on the phone.
I don't think it's a problem,
It's a huge problem if you can't go a weekend without breaking out in hives.
But this doesn't happen very often that I happen to be out of the bubble. I mean, usually
I'm on
the island and I'm hooked up and then I'm fine.
But
so it's not a problem.
We need to get you out of the bubble where people are and life and things. And
what if stuff had happened and I didn't know about it? What if somebody died? What if somebody died and I didn't know about it?
You couldn't save them.
No downside.
Couldn't stop.
There's
the
a
fire.
Huge downside because I'm going to be in a conversation like in a year and somebody's going to say, yeah, that was sure tough when fill in the blank name celebrity here died. I'm going to be like, what? Huh? What? I didn't know about that. That's my fear is that I'm going to be unprepared when a conversation steers around to something that happened that I missed.
Would you mind if I give you an outsider's view of your conversational skills?
Okay.
Please go ahead.
You drive us out of our effing minds with your knowledge.
It's obnoxious.
It doesn't matter what we bring up. You have way too much information. You're very, very down, far down the dock road, by the way.
Yeah. I like to be current. Yes. That's all. No, I just like to know.
No. You don't want anyone to be able to tell you anything you don't already know.
You have to
no,
be
that's
first.
Not true.
Obnoxious.
That's not true.
You must be first. You must know it as it happens.
Right.
And you must know more than everybody else. And we don't like it. That's what I'm telling you. Because you're a news snob.
I'm not a news
you're
snob.
You're a news snob. There's no like news snob more than you.
I just like to be current. I just like to know what's happening.
Nope. If somebody says something, you have to have 17 facts. They don't want 17 facts. They're not asking for 17 facts, but you got
to
have them.
Yep.
Well, I like to contribute to the conversation.
Nope, that's not contributing.
You like to dominate and overrule the conversation.
That's correct. It's snobbery.
All I know is I have not seen TV since Friday. That's all I
know.
And
what I'm telling you is, you're okay.
Yeah, you lived, right?
Okay. Everything's fine.
It's bad. It's bad, and I don't care for it.
All right. Well, let me give you one quick news update.
What do you got? Tell me anything.
We have a news correspondent out in the field right now that's going to give us some updates on the fires.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Sam?
Yeah.
What news do you have for Bean? He's outside of his bubble. He does not have his constant news IV drip.
Listen, I'm a hairstylist, and I get inside and out information every day.
Inside and out information. Okay.
All right.
So what is your inside and out information?
You know, yesterday the brush fire started by...
Whoa. What does the fire have to do with Prop 8, Sam? You lost me.
Oh, because they...
I can't put Sam on the air. He's in his cursing mode. But Bean, did you know that? Did you know that the fire was set by lesbians because they can't get married?
I had not heard that information.
How does that make you feel? Sam, the Armenian comedian, knows more about the news than you do.
Or less.
He does. Or less. Thank you, Lisa. 7:55 now. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Yahoo!
I love that. It's my favorite commercial ever.
Let's talk about the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, shall we? The 22nd James Bond movie. That's quite a franchise, by the way.
No kidding.
Yeah. 22 movies.
Nothing comes close, right, Ralph?
Not even. Yeah. Made the latest and greatest, if you believe the box office, set a record for 007 movies, $70 million this weekend for Quantum of Solace, making it number one by far. Number two was Madagascar, Escape to Africa, which had a great weekend last weekend and still held up this weekend, making $36 million.
Dude.
Wow. So it's over $100 million for the top two movies at the box office this weekend. Role Models, High School Musical 3, Changeling, Zack and Miri Make a Porno, Soul Men, The Secret Life of Bees, Saw 5, and The Haunting of Molly Hartley round out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Sir Paul McCartney has announced he's going to release a long-lost Beatles song.
Oh, stop it!
Finally, we get some new Beatles music.
There can't be more.
How is there anything left? Is this just something that they never laid down in the...
No,
studio?
It was recorded. It's called Carnival of Light. It was recorded in January of 1967. It is a 14-minute experimental song featuring distorted hypnotic drum and organ sounds, a distorted lead guitar, a track of spooky church organ, someone gargling, weird sound effects.
You're making this up.
A tambourine playing. And John Lennon and Paul McCartney screaming random phrases like, "Are you all right?" and "Barcelona."
I don't know what the hell you guys are talking about.
That's just not good.
What is that?
Memo to Sir Paul McCartney. We don't need to hear everything you ever recorded with those other three guys once you got into a studio. We're good.
It's
That's
so
cool.
Weird because they put out the anthology series and then the BBC series where they just went through, it seemed like, every single tape that the Beatles had touched and just everything that was on it they released.
Paul
I can't believe there's more.
He wanted to release Carnival of Light on the Beatles anthology, but he was outvoted by the other members of the band.
Oh, so he's waiting for them all to die.
Understandably, because it sounds horrible.
They made the right decision.
14 minutes of screaming Barcelona and church music. Not interested.
Why does he want to release it? What do you think is the incentive? It's not going to add to the Beatles' legacy.
14 minutes of distorted guitar, gargling, dripping sound effects. That sounds better than anything he's written in the past 20
years,
actually.
That's true. That is true.
Maybe that's why he wants to do it. Kendra Wilkinson of Playboy fame, of course, one of Hefner's three girlfriends until he left her, or she left him and got engaged to
a NFL player, says, and I'm not kidding you, she doesn't think about her naked pictorials at all because it freaks her out to think that people can look at her body just by flipping open a magazine. How did you think it worked when you went into Playboy?
What?
How is that a shock to you? Hey, wait a minute. If I shoot these photographs and they put them in a magazine,
then what'll
people
happen?
People will be able to look at me in a magazine. She's spectacular.
Wow.
NBC has announced they're picking up a new reality dance show, Kevin. Another reality dance show on television.
You know I'm in.
It is created and produced by the Lord of the Dance, Michael Flatley.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, good. A
here
tap dancing show.
No, no, Kevin. It's better than that. It's professional dancers from 8 different countries exhibiting different performance styles from their homelands.
Okay.
Producers say it is the Olympic Games of Dance. Please enjoy. The Olympic Games of Dance. Really?
Does anyone say no to anything anymore?
Nope. There's too much room on television. That's the problem.
Not that I know. I'd watch that show right now at this point. I'd watch anything.
He's a news snob, right?
Oh, Rob, absolutely. Because right? You know what he loves to do? And you go, dude, did you hear about that guy in Berlin who was cured of AIDS with that marrow trip? Oh, yes. You just heard about that? I've been following that story for weeks. I was there. I withdrew the marrow. I took the marrow out of the patient and injected it into him. He's an American, you know. Yes, he was being treated for something else.
You know what he did for a living?
You just heard that? If he can't be the smartest guy in the room, he doesn't exist.
He does that with everything, too. I'll be like, hey, have you heard the new Jenny Lewis CD? I've had it for 4 months.
Got the acetates.
I have it on vinyl and on CD.
I was there when she recorded it.
I counted her down in the studio. I'm on bass.
What's the beatboxing you're doing, Ralph?
You do make noises with your mouth in disgust at us. That does happen.
Punch you right in the head. And CBS has announced they have picked up Jay Moore's new sitcom, Gary Unmarried, for another 7 episodes.
God, who cares?
Sorry. That guy is really unmarried, that guy.
Ooh, so unmarried. They got more episodes of Worst Week ordered as well. In other words, CBS gives up.
They're out. They out.
What do we got? I'll just order more of those. I can't worry about it. I'm just overwhelmed. Our radio division sucks. That's what they're saying over at CBS.
That is what they're saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Rachel McAdams of Wedding Crashers, of The Notebook.
So good.
Of My Dreams.
If the boner police are here, I demand a lawyer.
She's a stunner.
Mm-hmm. She's beautiful.
30 years old today. Leslie Bibb. That's popular in ER, turns 35 years old today. Sophie Marceau from Braveheart and other feature films is 42. Daisy Fuentes.
Come on.
Also 42 years old today. Just a smoking hot batch of broads right there. Legendary movie director Martin Scorsese celebrates his 66th birthday. And the guy who produces Saturday Night Live, Lorne Michaels. His friends call him Malorn.
Is that right?
Yeah. He is 64 years old today. Danny DeVito. Louis from Taxi and currently can be seen on Everything's Sunny in Philadelphia. He is 64 years old today. Someone wants me to shut up, so now I'm gone. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. We still have the upped-up schedule, which means we're off at 9, but from 5 to 6 this afternoon, Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, we have Mike Shinoda.
Oh,
how about that?
Linkin Park in the studio hanging out with us and co-hosting.
Talking about a new Linkin Park DVD, plus we'll give you Metallica tickets between 5 and 6 this afternoon. We bring it in the afternoon. I mean, I know you listen during the morning show and you go, those guys aren't that good, but we light it up starting at 5 p.m., and you can't even believe it.
Unless you listen and then you know.
I don't remember where in America this happened, but we had a very entertaining story. I saw this on the news, as a matter of fact, Kevin.
Really?
It didn't seem to bother you then.
Which
but
news
I saw
was it? MSNBC? CNBC?
All of
I'm
them?
I'm not sure. I read them all. But I saw a story on the news about a woman who was avoiding police. She was driving behind the wheel of a stolen car, and she was avoiding police. And she knew she was going to get pulled over, and she knew that they were going to search her and search the vehicle. So she did the only reasonable thing that any woman would do with a crack pipe in the car, and that's
throw it out the window?
Shove it up her ass. Yeah. So she... She hid it in her body is what she did.
A crack pipe?
I don't think that would ever cross my mind.
Me either. It's not like you would have a battle with yourself. You go, I should put it in my ass. No, that's ridiculous.
It doesn't seem like that would be, one, easy to do, and two,
while you're driving, by the way.
Yeah, and you're wearing, well, it doesn't matter what you're wearing. That would be difficult to do.
It matters
right?
a little yes. what you're wearing.
If you're wearing jeans, it's really difficult
just
to do.
Just a second.
Parental discretion is advised.
Okay, back to you. Good advice. I mean, not to get too graphic or really to think too much about it, but as a woman, that's not even the first place on my body I'm hiding something from the police.
You're
you
right.
know what I mean?
There are easier places to put
easier
it.
Places, exactly. Yeah.
Depends on your lifestyle.
So that's a good point. So we started talking about that, and then we thought, I know with our listeners, there have to be people who listen to this program who at one time or another, for whatever reason, have had to hide something in their butt. And those are the people that we want to hear from.
We do this topic all the time, whether it's accidental or you got injured this way.
How many times is it accidental?
Dude, it depends on who's telling the story.
Right.
I mean, they say it's accidental.
I fell on the vacuum cleaner hose. Right. That's what happened. I didn't put it in there on purpose. Come on.
So we got an email from a K-Rock listener in, where are you in France, Kevin?
France, yeah. France.
What are you doing there? Your job took you there?
No, I just work here.
You work there. Okay, yeah, it's very different than your job took you. All
right. Well, no, but you're not. Are you from America, or are you just one of those listeners around the world who found us on the internet? But you're not from here.
My family's originally from the States, but I've lived here.
Oh, I see. Okay, good deal. So when you heard us telling this story a couple of weeks ago, you thought, "Wait a minute, hiding stuff in your ass? I know a dude who did that."
Exactly, and you know, so I'm from Europe, and you know how soccer is really popular in Europe,
right?
It's the only thing that matters. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So there's something that's popular among fans is those smoke bombs. It's pretty much 8-inch cylinders that you light up at the stadium. You know, it makes smoke and it's nice and everything.
Right.
And, of course, they're illegal. So you're being searched for those, you know, by security before entering the stadium. And there's this one guy who really, really, really wanted to light up a smoke bomb, apparently, at a game. So he found no better way than, you know, to hide the smoke bomb than to hide it in his own ass. And
he put an 8-inch smoke bomb up his ass.
Pretty much, yeah.
And then tried to get into the stadium.
And the worst part is that he didn't even get into the stadium. I don't know how, but they found it. And
they probably watched him limping up to the front of the line.
That is a hell of a search right there.
No kidding.
If you discover that.
Here in America, by the way, they open your backpack and look in. I mean, they don't even put their hand in your backpack to see what you're bringing into a stadium. Apparently, they've got it. They got it down at security at stadiums and.
You know, soccer fans in Europe are crazy beyond words, obviously.
Yeah.
This dude wanted to light... I mean, how much could you possibly want to light off a smoke bomb? Really? At the end of the day, you go, well, it's too difficult. I'm just going to go to the game, enjoy myself, drink.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put it in my ass.
So what did they do to him when they found out? I mean, I still can't figure out how they figured out he had it, but did they arrest him and take him away and he didn't even get to go to the game?
Yeah, and the worst part is that it was an away game, so he spent maybe 6 hours, you know, on the road to go to that town, and didn't even get to see the game.
That's amazing.
They should have just lit it.
If they were funny, they would have just lit it. That's what I was going to say. Leave it where it is and light it.
Yep.
What's he going to do? Wow. He drove 6 hours, and he probably put it in his ass before he left, if I'm guessing this guy.
Maybe that's his lifestyle.
All right. Kevin, you're the best. Thanks for emailing us. We appreciate it.
Okay, you're welcome.
Okay, bye now.
See you later. So 1-800-520-1067, that's the toll-free number. This one may be a little bit tougher than other topics that we have thrown out there, but we do know our listeners, and we do know that there's very little they haven't done. There's very little they haven't tried at least once.
And they don't believe in the exit only, like we do.
Nope.
So 1-800-520-1067, if you stash something there on purpose. Now, this is not the, hey, I fell on it. This is, I had to hide something, so I quit. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing that came to my mind, so that's where I put it.
Right.
And don't forget our prison audience, too, by the way. There may be some people who have some experience that way, getting stuff in contraband in and out of the joint, right?
That's true.
The joint.
What?
She said joint. Earlier this morning, we made the announcement that Miss Double December,
yes,
2009 is
yes.
now open.
Yes.
Nice melons.
Go to KROQ.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page. You can send in pictures, and you can enter to be Miss Double D 2009.
Yep.
And you win tickets for both nights of KREX Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert coming up next month, too. That's if you need a little bit of incentive. I love our listeners so much, and occasionally I really appreciate the opportunity to showcase our listeners for potential advertisers of the Kevin and Bean Show.
Absolutely.
And this is one of those times. We're talking about you stuck stuff up your ass for whatever reason. You hit it up your ass on purpose. And those are the calls we're taking right now at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, for instance, why don't we start with Brett in Fullerton? Right before we took a break, we said, what about people in prison? I'm sure that that's a fairly common way to try to get something in or out of prison, and that's Brett's story. Hey, Brett, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
We are good.
Basically what happened was there was a fight going on one of the prison yards that I was on, and a very real thing is that you hide stuff up your butt, and one of the things that I put up there was a knife about 4.5 inches long.
A knife?
Now, where did you get a 4.5-inch knife in prison?
You make them either out of, like, toothbrushes or whatever you can find.
Made it out of a spork?
So, I'm
they actually sell real spoons on commissary, so you can buy a real spoon.
Okay, so, but it's sharp, though. You didn't have some kind of cover, right?
Yeah, you either wrap it in, like, a sock or something like that, so it doesn't really affect you, but sometimes people do get stabbed and get cut, so.
How long did you keep that knife up your ass?
About 6 hours.
Oh, my God.
And then all of a sudden a fight breaks out and he's like, just a minute, hold on everybody, just hold on.
I got it.
I'm going to get something out here in just a second. Can someone help me?
Yeah, pretty much.
Brett, what did you need a knife for? Was it just for self-defense, just in case?
Just in case, yeah, pretty much.
Good times, my friend, good times. Glad you called.
Thanks for the call. Wow. That just seems like, I don't know, bad. All right, let's go to Jeff in West Covina. Good morning, Jeff.
How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Another prison story. Good.
Yeah, well, you got a lot of prisoners listening to your show, I guess.
Oh, I know.
Well, let's see. I worked on the outside crew. I was inside a prison in the California Department of Corrections, but I had a pass to work on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I accumulated some items over a period of time, which was a pocket knife, a needle, and a dime of weed. And in order for me to get it back in, I couldn't get it all in one shot, so I wrapped it up and stuck it in a metal cigar tube. I sucked the metal cigar tube up my ass and snuck it back in.
Right. Now, knowing that this is the main way for prisoners to transport stuff, how do they not check for that every time?
All they do is strip you back down when you come back in, and they strip you out, you know, look at your body, have you lift your sack, and
they have to know that people are sneaking stuff in this way, though, right?
Some places, I mean, they'll have you bend over and cough, but nothing's going to fall out unless you're really stretched out.
Right. Wow, this is an ugly conversation.
I hate this whole topic.
This is not a good conversation.
Thank you for the call. How about Perry in Oceanside, by the way? He's got a rehab-related story of smuggling something up your ass that sounds pretty interesting. Hey, Perry, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning, Kevin, Bean, Lisa.
Good morning.
How you guys doing?
Well, we were doing better before we initiated this conversation.
It's kind of our fault, though.
Tell you that right now.
My story actually doesn't have a insertion involved.
Good.
I had to pass a drug test, and I was dirty for weed. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not bong rips. But the artificial sample came in. It came with an artificial heater as well that you had to wrap up the bottle in. Well, you had to keep it at your body temperature.
When you say it came in, you ordered it from the internet.
No, I actually got it from a head shop down in San Diego.
Okay.
I think it's like synthetic beaver piss or something related to that. But,
that's a good band name, by the way.
Synthetic beaver piss is playing Acoustic Christmas.
But this stuff was $30 a bottle. Long story short, I had to pinch it with my butt cheeks because...
I don't know how many of the details we need. I mean, I think we can all visualize.
He's saying it wasn't inside. He's saying he just held it in his butt cheeks to keep it close to his body to keep it warm, right?
The old clincher pincher, yeah, for sure. So I was hanging on to this thing, and I get in there, and they tell me, you know, you have to get in this robe. You know, there's no pockets in this thing or anything, and I didn't want to have it under my armpit and look like a robot walking around. So instead, I just pinched it with my butt cheeks, and, you know, the sample passed. It matched the body temperature, and I was on my way.
Nicely done.
Still working there today.
And now you fly airplanes for a living. Congratulations.
Yes, I do. Yeah, we're coming in for a landing right now.
Thank you for the call. I don't know how much we want people cheating drug tests to get some jobs. I will tell you that.
Why do we have an endless supply of these calls?
Oh, we could go all day. Look how many calls. We can't answer them fast enough. We've got so many.
All right, let's go to Brian in Los Angeles. Brian?
Yeah, how you doing? Morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
All right, we don't need all of the details. Just give us the items and describe them roughly.
Okay. I was in state prison. I had been there for a few years, and it was late at night. Goon Squad was going to hit the cell, and I had a choice of shoving narcotics up my rectum or getting a new case and potentially doing life in prison.
Mm. Well, rectum.
Yeah.
You know, damn near killed him.
Life in prison, right?
Sure.
Well, you know what? I learned myself. I don't know about anyone else that's been in prison. I heard some of those other calls, and, you know, didn't sound like they'd really in prison. You know, kitty camp to me.
Ah.
I was in maximum security.
Okay.
It was a choice of shoving it up your butt or catch a new case.
Did you get away with it the time you were in prison? You ever get caught with drugs on you, or were you always able to hide them there?
I didn't do much drugs, but in my cellie at the time was a heroin addict, and he was taking a bird bath, so I was holding the dope in case we got hit, and they hit us, and
all this prison lingo.
Hey, I came off that rack with tears in my eyes, but you know what? Because it hurt, I shoved it up dry, and I'm a firm believer with you. Exit only.
Yes. Well, apparently you're not.
I already had a 16-year term, and I did 15. I'd been in prison at that time for almost four, and
wow.
I caught my second strike in prison in a race riot. Didn't want to spend the rest of my life there over some dope.
All right, we can't get into why you risked it in the first place, but real quick before you go, Brian, you told our phone screener about something else that you saw another prisoner hide. What's that?
I saw another inmate who was getting transported to another facility, and this man shoved, I would have to say, an easy 14 to 16-inch knife up his ass.
14 to 16 inches.
Well, you have to remember your intestinal tract is 27.8 inches long.
Right, but it's not straight.
Well, it's from my understanding.
And a knife doesn't bend much.
Not much.
Wow.
But, that was his job. That's what he did.
That was his job.
Well, yeah, the Southern Mexicans are really militant in prison, and they have certain people that if they're wherever they're at in the totem pole and the structure, some people, it's your job to bring dope back into to fellows when they're in ag seg or into the prison.
You do not want to be at the bottom of that totem pole. I'll tell you that.
No, you don't.
The Sereños in prison are treacherous.
Wow. Brian, we need to hang on to your phone number. I think it may be time for Ask an Inmate, don't you guys?
Yeah,
sounds
absolutely.
Like there's a lot more to this prison life. I mean, I didn't know about the ag sex and the bird baths and everything else he's got going on. We may have – Brian, would you be willing to come down sometime? We could take some more time with you.
You know what? I'd have no problem doing that. I listen to you guys. I'm at work right now. I'm a courier. I work for Royal Messenger
Service. All right, let me ask one other question now. What were you in prison for?
I beat on a serial rapist with crowbar.
Yeah.
Okay, good work. Okay, all right. Vigilante Brian, fantastic.
Right.
All right, Brian, hang on. We'll get your number.
Let's have that guy down. Good thinking.
We don't have – well, I'm not there. I don't care. We don't have any more time but flip-flop in your ass. We just don't. We don't have any more time.
Removed a flip-flop from a man's ass.
Guy smuggled smokes into rehab because he knew he wouldn't be able to have them. Our listeners are the best.
I insist we talk to Tim. I'm not going to quit until we go to Tim.
We don't have time. We don't have time to talk to Tim.
Must talk to Tim.
It's 8:32 already.
Got to talk to Tim. Tim?
Hello.
Your wife was going to leave you.
Yeah. We had a fight about 2 o'clock in the morning. She was going to take off on me. So I decided I'd take her keys. And when I did, I put them in my waistband. Well, she come back around the corner. She seen them. She grabbed them from me. She went to the car. Well, time passed. She thought she was going to leave. She had her keys in the car. I snuck back and grabbed her keys. And I pulled just the one Honda key off. And I shoved it up my ass real quick. She come back, she searched, and she couldn't find it. It was kind of funny because the police came, and they're like, we know you got the keys. Where are they? I ain't got the keys. They couldn't find it. It was like the ultimate hiding spot.
Wow. And she learned that she shouldn't leave a quality guy like you.
That's right. Hey, I think she gave me the car afterwards.
All right,
not,
all
for you.
Have. She didn't want the key, I'll tell you that. You certainly earned it more than she did, I'll tell you that, Tim. I would have given you the car.
All I'm saying is we have their specialists here on the show, and you're the specialist for country music. You're our specialist.
You're our go-to guy.
You're who we go through.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at K-Rock 106.7 KRQ 839 Monday morning. Today is Ralph Garman's birthday.
Yeah.
And to celebrate, we got him a copy of the new Toby Keith movie, Beer for My Horses. Ugh. And I thought you'd be happy with the DVD, Ralph. You didn't enjoy it?
F Toby Keith so much. This goddamn country fake macho BS mother effer. Apparently, this isn't his first movie, by the way. I found
really?
In retrospect, he's done a couple for country music television, CMT. Which, by the way, F that network and everyone who works for it.
See, Ralph doesn't like the country music much.
And look, there's been bad movies starring music stars as long as there's been music stars.
Sure.
You know, Elvis Presley did it. He turned out to be a decent actor, but, I mean, Vanilla Ice had a movie, for Christ's sake.
That's true.
But
that's
I right. guarantee you, no one let Vanilla Ice write his own movie as well as star in it.
He wrote this?
Beer for My Horses, starring Toby Keith and hilarious redneck comedian Rodney Carrington, was written by Toby Keith and Rodney Carrington.
Yes.
So they carry full shame and blame for this feature film.
And by blame, you mean it's the best movie ever.
Yeah, well, it may be the best movie ever, but in the previews to this movie, I think I realized what the really the best movie ever is.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They've got previews for other movies that you can get on Country BS Video, whatever this company is.
Right.
And so I may have to review this movie next. This is the little piece of the trailer for a movie called Bait Shop, starring Billy Ray Cyrus and Bill Engvall.
Oh, no.
In the multi-billion-dollar world of competitive bass fishing, Hot Rod Johnson is the only Woo! Game in town. Until now.
Come on.
Yeah, Billy Ray Cyrus plays Hot Rod Johnson, the world's greatest bass fisherman. And Bill Engvall is going to lose his bait shop to creditors, so he's got to enter the competition and try to beat Billy Ray Cyrus.
That's next week.
Go F yourself.
That's next week.
Fantastic.
No, look, it's got lines like this.
It's Bill versus Billy Ray.
Better be careful, Bill. I've been known to bring the thunder.
Well, I've been known to break the wind.
Screw you! You
that's
got...
not even the movie you're looking at.
No, we're looking at...
not even out of that yet.
Beer for My Horses, where Toby Keith plays Sheriff Rack Racklin.
Come on!
Rack Racklin
is not his name.
His real name is Joe Bill Racklin. Joe Bill.
Oh, but his friends call him Rack.
But his friends call him Rack because his last name is Racklin. But he goes by Rack Racklin.
Okay.
Rack Racklin is a sheriff in the town of Mangum, which is in Jackson County, Oklahoma.
Sure.
And he's been given the assignment of a stakeout on a farm because someone's stealing their fertilizer. And you know what they use liquid fertilizer to do, Kevin? To cook meth.
Mm.
Yeah. So they're on a stakeout. And his wacky sidekick, Rodney Carrington, who just couldn't be funnier.
He's a comedian?
If you've ever seen any of the... they tour together, this Bill Engvall...
Blue-collar comedy tour.
Yeah, it's called the Redneck Retard Tour, I think. his wacky sidekick has a hilarious old dog named Junior.
No, he doesn't.
Who he brings with him every time they go on stakeout. And I'll tell you something, that Junior sure farts. He sure got a lot of gas. Here's a scene from the stakeout with Junior the dog farting.
Dang, Lonnie.
God.
What? You got a sour stomach?
I didn't do that. Junior did.
You know what? I've noticed something about Junior. Whenever he farts, something big's about to happen.
That's right. Something big happens when Junior farts. And the bad guys show up to steal the fertilizer. And it turns out they're Mexican.
No, they're not.
Oh. That's right. Because, you know, if someone's making meth in Oklahoma, it's not some toothless mother effing hillbilly who bangs his own sister. No, it's got to be a Mexican because this is country music television and minorities are bad guys.
Did somebody order Mexican?
It turns out they capture Tito, the Mexican.
Tito the Mexican.
Yes. Whose brother is Manny the Mexican.
Sure.
Who is the biggest drug cartel runner in all of Mexico.
Uh-oh.
And they're stealing their equipment to make meth out of Mangum, Oklahoma, off a guy's farm. That's where they're getting their liquid fertilizer from.
So it's based on a true story.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Well, it turns out that Tito and his brother Manny aren't happy because the Sheriff Rack Racklin arrested them.
You know that that Mexican guy you arrested? His name's Tito. And his brother, he's going to kill you.
Somebody's going to kill me. That's big news, Johnny. Thanks. Here's some news for you. You're not a rapper. So pull your pants up.
Yeah, pull your pants up. You're wearing your rapper pants, just like a rapper, which are blacks, which are also minorities and bad. You punk kid, you.
Now Ralph, you guys can see why Beat and I were so giddy about making Ralph watch
God
this movie.
God damn these people.
Now, this is not eligible for this year's Oscars because it was made for television. Is that right, Ralph?
That's right. Yeah, maybe okay. It'll pick up an Emmy. Well, it turns out that Rack Racklin's old girlfriend's back in town. Oh, that Rack Racklin has a hard time with the ladies,
I'll
but he truly
he
loves his old girlfriend, played by Claire Forlani, who, by the way, had a career before this.
She did.
Yeah, she was in Mallrats and Meet Joe Black, CSI New York. Couldn't she have found something more less embarrassing to do, like porn or stripping, than do this movie?
Beer for my horses, Ralph.
Well, here's how Rack finds out his old girlfriend's back in town, by the chatty local diner waitress.
Did you hear Annie Streets is back in town?
No, really?
Yeah. Her mama got the Alzheimer's, and she...
Ignorance is funny. Aren't they lovable, these real ignorant Americans who live in these godforsaken states? She's got the old timers.
And this was on TV.
Sounds like the worst movie
Happy birthday,
ever.
Ralph.
Well, turns out Tito is wanted by the FBI. So Rack Racklin goes into his jail cell to tell him that he's going to be sent to Oklahoma State Prison because the FBI is going to take him.
Sure.
Do you know my brother going to come looking for you? You're not going to like it when he finds you.
No.
You tell your brother this, tough guy. I'm easy to find. Thursday night, I'm pig hunting with Lonnie. Friday night, drinking beer at the Thirsty Monkey. Saturday morning, I'll be at my house drinking coffee at the kitchen table. And Saturday afternoon, I'm taking your ass to Oklahoma City so you can find a horny convict to be your love pinata for the next 50 years. Comprende?
Comprende? Mexican?
Because the guy's Mexican, he says comprende.
Did you hear the acting of the actor playing the Mexican drug lord?
I'm more Mexican.
It sounded like Mayor Villaraigosa was calling him. You're not going to like it when you find you.
Well, we're reviewing a DVD movie called
Beer for My Horses, starring country star Toby Keith. I know it's going to come as a shock to you, but it's loaded up with comedy guest appearances.
Oh, sure.
Also. Willie Nelson stops by.
Mm-hmm. As he does in every bad project.
Mac Davis makes a brief
Mac
appearance.
Davis.
Mac Davis. Yeah.
Is he the dude that used to have the TV show in the 60s?
Yep. Country singer who used to have his own TV show.
All right.
And I don't know if you're familiar with a country singer named Mel Tillis. Mel Tillis was a big star in the 70s in country music.
Okay.
The thing about Mel is he has a paralyzing handicap. He's a stutterer.
Awesome.
A horrific stutterer.
Awesome.
And a lot of fun was made of him back in the 70s because he couldn't speak. He could sing perfectly but couldn't speak. In the 70s, it was okay to make fun of Mel Tillis. It's a little harder now that he's 80 to get a big chuckle out of Mel Tillis' performance as the hopelessly stuttering plumber who comes by to fix Toby Keith's sink.
There are three things, dude. There are three things to be a plumber.
He does that for about 20 minutes.
Oh, no. Sounds like he's got the old timers.
He's got the old timers.
Wow.
Well, guess what? The evil Mexicans, because
guys,
they're bad.
Guys, we could make a TV movie.
Easily. The evil Mexicans kidnap his old girlfriend that he loves so much.
No.
And they're going to trade Tito for Annie, his girlfriend, but he's got to go down to Mexico to do it. And his boss says, no, you're not going. And you know what? He's an outlaw, man. He plays by his own rules.
Yeah.
Him and Lonnie and Farty Jr. get in the old Ford 150 and head down to Mexico.
Yes,
but
they
on the
do.
Way down, they run into a hilarious hooker with a heart of gold that Lonnie, the deputy, takes a shine to. And he wants to give her a ride down to Mexico, too.
Hooker? Rack, she ain't a hooker. She's a good Christian woman. She's got a nice cross necklace on. I told you that was a nice rack necklace. I mean, a nice, you know.
They named his character Rack Racklin just for that joke.
Mm-hmm.
I told you she had a nice rack necklace.
Yep.
I mean, that's the whole reason they named his character Rack.
You're right.
Oh.
Happy birthday,
oh,
man.
Oh, I want cancer for all these people.
Rob, at any point, is there some beer for anyone's horses?
Oh, wait for it.
Oh, there is. Okay. It.
So they get down to Mexico, and it's time to make the swap, right?
Right.
So Rack Racklin walks in with Tito, and he confronts the evil drug lord Manny.
Welcome, Mr. Deputy. I see you're right on time.
Where's Annie?
What is the rush? Sit down. Have a drink.
Don't drink with assholes.
Oh, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Right to his face with a gun pointed at him. Why don't you have a drink? Why you got out of time? Where? Badges? We don't need no stinking badges.
I've never understood why you can't get actual Mexican people to do stuff.
Nope.
It's always the horrible white actors that do the bad accents.
Well, I know this is going to come as a surprise to you, but he rescues Annie and saves the day and captures all the bad guys. And then comes back to Mangum, Oklahoma, and his boss sure is mad with him. Ooh, you didn't follow my orders. I told you not to go down to Mexico.
Give me one good reason why I don't lock you up.
Because it's time for a toast.
Well, let's hear it.
Whiskey for my men.
Beer for my horses.
There it is. And that's how it ends.
What?
The famous lawman toast. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
That.
But the movie was called Beer for My Horses.
It was, and they snuck it in there with that big
right
toast.
At the end.
Sure did.
So there was no beer, there were no horses.
Nope, there was just a lot of trucks and a lot of Mexican jokes.
Wow.
Oh, but there is a lot of black jokes, too, because Lonnie the deputy goes into the bathroom at in a rest stop and starts, under his breath, singing Shout, the old Isley Brothers song to himself.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know you make me want to shout. And there's black guys hanging around in the restroom, and they all break into a big musical number because the black guys get so caught up into hearing Shout.
That does
not
happen.
They start singing and dancing.
That does not happen.
Because they're black, and that's funny when minorities sing and dance for white people.
Wow. I had no idea it was this bad.
I want to napalm everyone who's ever been involved in this feature film.
Oh, fuck you.
So you're saying rent it. Beer for my horses. You're saying rent it.
I'm saying rent it and I will kill you.
Mike Shinoda, by the way, this afternoon in the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde.
Mm-hmm.
Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
I forgot to mention in Beer for My Horses, starring Toby Keith.
He's not done.
That another of his deputies is Ted Nugent.
Playing
a mute deputy who was raised as an orphan by Indians on a reservation. So he goes around shooting arrows at everyone.
But he's mute, so he can't say stop.
Nope.
Or
just sits there sharpening his knife at the desk and then shoots arrows into people because he was raised by Indians. And that's what Indians do, you see. They shoot arrows.
This might be your favorite movie ever, I'm guessing.
I have not stopped vomiting yet.
Oh, that's wrong.
Yeah. Let's talk about show business, shall we? Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Quantum of Solace. $70.4 million in its debut weekend. It's already made about $300 million overseas.
Yeah. Do they usually do that? Do they usually bring it out overseas before here?
They do the Bond movies. They always release them in the UK because it's a British thing.
Got it.
Before they do here in the States. But
isn't it hard to believe now, Ralph, that there were people who really had concerns for this franchise when they hired Daniel Craig? When they said, oh, that's it, man. It's just running on fumes at this point.
I think it certainly helps that Daniel Craig has a huge appeal for women in terms of his box office. But I think the real success story is how they rebooted the franchise and brought in fresh directors to kind of modernize the franchise and make it more Bourne identity and less sort of cheesy Roger Moore Bond, you know?
Right.
I think that was the real success.
Yeah, that's true.
But it doesn't hurt that ladies like that Daniel Craig and his pecs. Madagascar was number 2 at the box office, made over $36 million. Role Models was 3, then High School Musical 3. Changeling was 5, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Soul Men, The Secret Life of Bees, Saw 5, and The Haunting of Molly Hartley, rounding out the top 10 at the box office. Congratulations to Jerry Ferrara of Entourage. Apparently, it's a real deal. He has got a girlfriend named Jamie Lynn Sigler.
No kidding.
Yep.
That's not right.
She admitted as much to the New York Post. She says, it's rare that I ever struck up such a connection with someone. He's a very special person, her new boyfriend.
Did the thing on the plane happen for real?
I don't know how they got going. See last night? Last night?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, they were booty call. She makes a booty call to him.
Nice.
Did they meet filming the show?
Yes, they met filming the show. Mm. I like that story. That means guys who look like me can get hot chicks.
Is that what Dave said?
That's what David King Mesko is very happy about that.
I like beer for my horses because that means that I can get beer for my horses.
Guns N' Roses drummer and star of Celebrity Rehab Steven Adler won't be going to jail. Los Angeles Times reports that he pleaded no contest on Friday to felony drug possession charges. He was arrested back in July for drug possession. He has a court date on December 12th, but looks like the judge will most likely send Steven to rehab. Gosh, I hate when they ruin TV shows for me. They ruin the ending. Yeah. I'm guessing Steven doesn't get out of Celebrity Rehab with all his ducks in a row.
Hmm.
His lawyer said that Steven hopes that Axl Rose will ask him to rejoin Guns N' Roses for their next tour. Yeah, he probably will. It's only been about 20 years now. You've been waiting for that phone call, Steven, but it'll probably happen this time.
It was sad when he was talking about Slash and he wants his best friend back, and that's just brutal.
Yeah. If we've learned anything from Axl, it's you can't go wrong sitting around waiting for that dude to call you. I mean, he is as timely as everything.
Is Johnny on the spot.
He sure is.
An album every 15 years and a phone call every 25 for his ex-bandmate. So another 5 years.
Wow.
You'll be in good shape, Steven. Did you see this week's Celebrity Rehab?
I did not yet, no.
Yes. Yes, I did.
There's some damaged people in there.
You think?
Yeah. Jeff Conaway calls the cops.
He does?
He calls 911.
911! I'm being held against my will! Calls the Pasadena plea to break him out of rehab.
But doesn't Drew and the whole... don't they just go? I mean,
yeah,
they do pretty much.
He's so dramatic about everything.
Yeah, he's so dramatic he had to call the cops. Yeah.
And they show up. Oh. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
He can't have Gary Busey taking too much of the spotlight. That's what it is.
Busey's kind of calmed down since he's back on his meds. Mm-hmm. It's kind of sad. But Tawny Kitaen cried a lot. That was fun. Talking about her molestation.
Up with her face.
Yeah, she's got face
Seriously.
Disease.
Seriously. She got these huge cheekbones all of a sudden. Yeah. She looks cat-like.
Yeah, she's
weird.
She looks like that crazy cat lady in New
she's
York with the plastic
to.
Surgery.
She does.
Yeah.
But Amber Smith.
Beautiful yes. still.
Cannot be hotter.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, you could tell fantastic. Her mom was probably
yeah,
really attractive.
Yeah, her mom was a hottie back in the day, yep. too. They did an intervention for her mom because her mom's also hooked on opiates.
Oh, no.
She can't go home to her mom and expect to stay clean.
They went through so much money doing drugs, the two of them were living in a hotel room on Sunset.
Yeah.
She was a supermodel.
Supermodel. Yep. Making gigantic Skrilla.
Did you just say Skrilla?
I did.
Didn't work.
I did that for Psycho Money.
Lisa, would you do all those drugs, Lisa, if you could look like Amber Smith?
Quite possibly. She's amazing. About it.
When she was detoxing, laying on the floor,
she
vomiting into a trash can, all I could say was, look how great her legs look.
I know.
They're so tan and
even her face
willowy.
Didn't look bad.
No, I was like,
most of the time the throw up is a deal breaker.
He looks up and it's like God was shining a beam of light down through the heaven on her. What's going on? If I could treat myself like that and look like that.
Yeah.
F you, Dr. Drew. That's what I'd be saying. Today's celebrity birthday is movie director Martin Scorsese, 66 years old today. Saturday Night Live producer Lorne Michaels is 64. Danny DeVito turns 64 as well. Daisy Fuentes is 42. Sophie Marceau from Braveheart and other feature films is 42 as well. Leslie Bibb of Popular and ER is 35. And Rachel McAdams turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you very much, Ralph. No one to thank in terms of guests on the show, but we did unveil details on Kevin and Bean's Miss Double December 2009 competition. It is up and running. All the details on the Kevin and Bean section of KROQ.com. If you are 21 and up and a lady and would like to represent the show and get tickets to KROQ's Almost Acoustic Christmas and the Weenie Roast next year and just be our friend, then you can go to KROQ.com and get all the details on how you can enter and start sending those pictures.
Yes.
That turned pathetic quickly.
Be our friend.
Hey, someone be our friend that's hot.
I like pretty girls.
We don't get pretty girls to hang out with us very often. I'm just saying it's going to be a nice change in the next few weeks.
This afternoon's Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde. We've got Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park in our studio. He'll be co-hosting. And then tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, we have Rob Dyrdek.
What? Who?
Who? And Jimmy Kimmel also tomorrow morning.
Wow.
My brother not going to like it if he finds you because you arrested me, Toby Keith.
So you're saying buy or rent beer for my horses?
I'm saying fatwa on Toby Keith. That's what I'm saying.
Fantastic. Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, so why not stick around for that? She's going to be playing, let me find the right page. She's going to be playing The Offspring, also some Chevelle, MIA, Nirvana, Linkin Park, and more right after this.
What's
What's up? This is Rob.
Rob
and Joe from Linkin Park.
What up?
This is Mike Shinoda.
This is Chester from Linkin Park.
You guys could do some songs that
that we'd play.
There you go.
That'd be pretty cool. Mike Shinoda, good afternoon.
I never get tired of that intro. I'm so glad you guys made that.
I think you're showing off is what I think, Mike.
Thank you so much.
I think it's your way of saying to every other guy in a band who's listening right now, really, you don't have this many hits because you do. What it sounds like.
We had an argument about, not an argument, but a discussion before I came on, like, you guys are going to play a couple songs, mm-hmm. and it's like, well, can we play, I'm saying, can we play this one, and your programmer's saying, well, no, we'll be able to play this one, or whatever, and at the end of the whole thing, we were all just looking at each other like, man, it's ridiculous that we have this much, like, this many choices.
To choose from, yeah.
Embarrassment of riches.
Yeah. I'm embarrassed.
We reflect all the time, Mike. We think back to, you know, they weren't your early days, because Linkin Park had already been out there working hard for a while before we even met you, but we think back to the, you guys playing the calendar signing, and how funny it is now to think back about you being in a Best Buy parking lot playing a K-Rock calendar signing, and you ripped it up. I mean, we knew then. We saw how great the band was then, but I don't think anybody, including the guys in the band, thought here we'd be all these years later and you'd be, you know, one of the biggest selling bands in the world.
I think at that point we were just, and still to this day we try and remember that, you know, just to enjoy when we go on stage, when we do anything like that, we're just enjoying what we're doing, and, you know, it could all be over tomorrow, you never know, and so we go out there and we do what we do.
Does the technical aspect of it get in the way of having so many elements to make sure?
Oh, you mean on stage?
Yeah.
To put the show on.
It almost seems like it would turn into kind of a business and less fun.
You know, it was only as far as the instruments on stage, it was more of a handful when we were getting started, because we had to carry all the stuff around ourselves, and in particular our DJ's gear, Joe's gear, is, you know, the size of a large refrigerator, so
right.
You gotta, even back then it was that big, and that required, you know, I mean, it was heavy. It required a lot of, like, making sure everything was plugged in and none of the wires broke, and, you know, we were sticking it in the back of a trailer behind an RV, so it was entirely possible that the RV had gotten too hot and the records warped or something bad had happened. These days, you know, obviously things are a lot easier, and at least for us.
You got people. You have servants.
Yeah.
Right? You got slaves.
We've got a really talented and reliable crew that that we're lucky to have.
What is it, and we're going to talk about the new CD-DVD live set called Road to Revolution here in a moment, but what is it in your band that makes you guys do as many shows as you do? Because you're on the road hundreds of shows a year for all these years. It seems like you don't take much time off in between jaunts around the world.
We're gluttons for punishment. That's all it is.
Bean and I, we look at guys like you and we go, listen, if we were in a band and we were successful, we would play as few shows as possible.
Sure.
I mean, I know we're basically lazy saying that, but we would. We would do what we had to.
Yeah, what makes you wake up whatever day it's going to be coming up soon and call the guys and go, seriously, let's go out for another 14 months? I mean, what makes you want to do that, Mike?
Well, if you look online, just to use the online community as an example, you know, we've got a number of different websites that fall under the umbrella of Linkin Park Network, and obviously the main one being LinkinPark.com.
Mm-hmm.
You go on there and you check out where the fans who are posting. I mean, there are kids who are there every single day posting stuff to the band, about the band, other music that they're listening to, but it's all at our site. There's hundreds and thousands of kids who go on our sites,
right.
And they're from all over the place, and they're always there. You know,
right.
Whether
so
we're
that...
playing, if we stopped, you know, to us, it's like we know they're there for us. We know they're there. They're fans of the band. They want to come see us.
Home and watch TV for a while.
In some,
right? I mean, that's what I would do.
Well, I think we just really, you know, we enjoy it. We're happy to have the connection. We're very grateful to have the connection with the fans, and being able to get out there and play for them feels good for them, feels good for us, so it's a win.
Didn't you guys break Chester recently? What happened?
No, he breaks himself.
He breaks himself?
He breaks himself.
Something happened with his back, or what happened?
The guy, I swear, I mean, earlier this year, he jumped off he always jumps off the riser in the middle of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
He does it like every night, at least a couple times. Mm. And he did it in Australia and came down, like on his way up, like jumping up, he caught his foot on something or tripped or whatever. He came down on his wrist and broke it.
Broke that, right. But finished that show, right?
Played 60 more minutes of a set with right. a broken wrist. I mean, he literally went backstage and was like, okay, it's definitely broken. I can't even move it. It hurts really bad. And we're like, okay, so show's canceled or what? And he goes, well, it's not going to be any more broken at the end of the show as it is now if I keep playing. So I might as well, I can, you know, play 60 more minutes. I can go. So let's just play the rest of the show.
Wow.
And he's out of his mind. But that, you know, after that show, it was like, okay, dude, you hurt yourself again. So why don't you just go ahead and stop jumping off the stupid riser because you keep doing this? Right. And sure enough, you know, he kept doing it over and over and whatever. And just recently, before this last, we had one more tour scheduled for a trip to China and some surrounding shows. And he was, before we even left for that tour, he was at home just, you know, not doing anything really and just turned the wrong way and his back just exploded, basically.
You need a better story than that, though.
Well,
I mean, really.
At the end of the day, it's like, anybody who's ever had that happen, it's like, it was so painful for him. He got carried out on a stretcher. He had to spend
yes.
time in the hospital and everything. And the doctor said, hey, look, you know, for real this time, you're not jumping off that riser anymore. You gotta knock it off.
You know how the professional wrestling has the ring that has a lot of give to the floor?
Yeah.
That's what you need to start performing on.
I'm sure our DJ Joe would appreciate that when his needles are like jumping six, you know, 6 inches up in the air.
Bouncing all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably not a good idea, now that I think
this
about
is,
it.
This is Mike Shinoda we're talking to from the band Linkin Park. Of course, he sings, he plays keyboards, plays guitar. They got a new DVD and CD coming out called Road to Revolution, which is November the 25th, which is just in time for Thanksgiving. And this is one... Is this all from one show that you did for Project Revolution?
Yeah, that's
or is this...
That's
it's all from the same night. Wow.
That's all from...
It's been a hell of a night.
Yeah, it was. It was a... The venue's called the Milton Keynes National Bowl. It's basically outside of London. It's a really famous venue to play, and it was our biggest Project Revolution show to date. It was the first time we had played... That run was the first time we had taken Project Revolution overseas, and we actually played with a number of different bands, but one of them was... one of the artists playing was Jay-Z, so we got to play a couple of things with Jay.
Cool.
We played one of our sets, included a bunch of songs that people wanted to hear. We'll talk more about it, but it was actually it was a really great show, and it was one of the standout ones of the year. And we
thank God you were rolling.
And we wanted to put
thank
it
God
out
you were
for
rolling.
Fans.
All right, we have many questions about that and other stuff that's going on in the world of Linkin Park and the world of Jay-Z, by the way, because if there aren't naked photos of Beyonce somewhere, then then I'm about to break. I'll tell you that.
Oh,
more with Mike
God.
Shinoda right after this on the world famous K-Rock. They like it. They like it.
It's KROQ, the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde. Mike Shinoda in the studio. That was a rather abrupt ending, wasn't it?
Not how we would have planned it. Had we had a chance to do it again?
We didn't fade. Yeah, we didn't fade the track on the CD.
Well, I guess if it's live, it goes into another one. This
yeah.
is the DVD.
Yes.
Road to Revolution.
It's actually a DVD, DVD and CD.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah. And we were talking when the music was going that I wanted to mention something about the title. We have a really tough time naming things.
Mm-hmm.
We had a tough time naming our band. We had a tough time naming every album. And when it came time to do this one, we actually were at a loss. It was basically like Linkin Park live at Milton Keynes, you know, which, you know, it could be better. So we actually opened it up to the fans, and within like 24 hours had 100-something pages.
No kidding.
Of awesome names.
Should have thought of that a long time ago in your career.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean 100-something pages of actual just names down the page, because that would have been overwhelming. But they were on the message board, you know, suggesting stuff on our various message
boards.
What
was the funniest one? You have to have one that stuck
out. Man. God, I wish I could remember right now. If you had asked me that, like, next... Oh, man.
We think about it. We'll get back to that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll think of something because there were some really, really funny ones, and they were intentionally funny.
Sure. Yeah, they're trying to be comedy.
Yeah.
So the CD and the live DVD, Road to Revolution. It's one full show that you did. Is it specifically, you know, the latest album? Is it all of the above?
No, it's a mix of. I mean, whenever we play a show, we try and give people a little cross section of, you know, the different stuff that we've done. We include all the singles. We're not, you know, we're not.
You're not Billy Corgan.
There's a lot of bands. A lot of bands get into that stuff, and you know, more power to them. Like
you should start doing Billy's hits. You should start coming out and doing 1979
no,
and stuff.
You know what? Not more power to him. Less power to him. F him. They come out and they. I know you're not saying this, but I am. They come out and do a show. You expect some of the songs.
Some,
you know,
yeah, absolutely.
For God's sakes.
Well, for us, I mean, you know, if you're in LA and you listen to K-Rock and you're familiar with the songs that K-Rock plays, I would imagine that when you come to one of our shows, if we didn't play those songs, you at least most of them,
right?
You'd be pissed off.
You don't have to play all of them. Everybody understands that you're not going to get to every one of their favorite songs,
right.
But.
Well, for people that you know have come to our shows or a few of our shows, more than one of our shows, we change up the set list nightly. We have a number of different set lists we play, and we put those into rotation, and then we finish a tour, and then we generally bring more new set lists into rotation. So you never know what you're going to get. I mean, you know, even if we played two shows in L.A., you get different set lists, you know, back-to-back, whatever, and that's just how we're doing things right now. It actually keeps it interesting for us and hopefully interesting for the fans.
Do you have a favorite Linkin Park song to perform and a least favorite?
Oh, man. I like a number of different songs. I like on the more like energetic end, I like playing, I like No More Sorrow.
Yeah.
I like Giving Up. On the like slower pace, but a little bit like lyrically and topically a little more dense. I like Little Things Give You Away.
That's a great song.
We were just talking about that. That was the one that we wrote, about kind of the New Orleans situation, Katrina situation. So
it was, you had gone there a year after, and it was just a disaster.
It was. It was insane that you know, basically it looked like nothing had been done. I mean, I know stuff had been done, but it looked pretty bad. So
right.
It really made a mark on us. And we, when we were in the studio, we had already been working on the music to that song, didn't know what it was going to be about. And the lyrics were, it became obvious to us very quickly.
And you just performed that one in New Orleans?
We did on the we have played it there. We did play it there this year, in that area. And you know, when you're on stage singing a song like that, in the, you know, with people in the audience who were there,
right?
It's a really powerful experience. I mean, you know, just anytime we play a show, sometimes different songs just kind of pop up as I just feel like I have a special connection to the lyrics on certain songs on different days. Like maybe if I've had just the worst day ever and I'm just pissed off, then, you know, it's One Step Closer or something like that. You're just like, you know, that's what it is. But, yeah, when it's, you know, some other days, I remember, a friend of mine, his mom passed away, and we did a show like that, like a day later or something, 2 days later. And when we were playing Leave Out All the Rest, I was like almost like messing up. I was almost, you know, forgetting how to play the piano parts because I was so like, it was just making such a really powerful connection.
Are the songs that are the most emotional to you, hard to perform with that much emotion? Because it seems like the more emotional songs, you can't do that every night.
No, no. I don't think anybody expects you to. I mean, it would be amazing to be able to be 100% connected to every single song every single night. But it would also probably wear us out. It would it'd wear me out. I don't know, you know, about other people, but I couldn't do that, I don't think. It's just not possible.
We are speaking with Mike Shinoda, of course, from the band Linkin Park, LA Zone. Road to Revolution is the name of the CD-DVD that we're talking about coming out on November the 25th. Hey, did we – I think we were talking about this on the morning show today, Mike. Do you have a song on the Twilight soundtrack too?
I thought you were going to say Toby Keith's Beer for My Horses.
Well, do you have one
of those? Do you have a song on Beer for My Horses? No, but I wish I did. Yes, Twilight.
We've got to get rid of these Twihards. We've got to do something. We've got to stop them from emailing
What did you
us.
Call them?
Twihards.
The Twihards.
That's what they call them.
Yes, that's right.
They call themselves. They're crazy, Mike. You know need to run as far away, as fast away as possible
you
from
know,
those
let
people.
Me tell you something. I'm meeting Stephanie Meyer.
Are you?
Yeah. The author of the books.
The author of the books. Mm-hmm. She, we, you know, when you approve something for a movie or something, it usually goes through the movie house, which is, you know, of course, I mean, if you know about her connection with the different bands that she likes, which would be, you know, Us and My Chemical Romance,
right.
and Muse, and number of other bands that she kind of name checks as groups that she listened to when she was writing the books.
Right.
So we knew she would want us on the soundtrack, but it's a different story when you get in the movie houses and you work out your little deal, whatever, and she has nothing to do with that. So
right.
at the back end of it, now the movie's coming out, the song is affiliated with the movie, Leave Out All the Rest is on the soundtrack, and in the movie, I guess. And so I was like, well, you know, I don't know this person. Like, I want to meet this person because her whole story is just so, it's bizarre. I mean, she's literally having rock concerts for a book.
Yeah, I know.
Who's ever done, I don't know if anybody's ever done that. I think that's exceptional.
I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's just the fact that she can actually pull that off.
The whole thing is exceptional.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got to be stopped. I'm sorry, Mike. I'm happy for you and all, but we are so tired of these goddamn Twilight fans. You've got to stop them. You've got to figure out something to do. That's all there is to it. I don't want to be on Team Edward. I don't want to be on Team Jacob. I don't want to be
Bless their cold little vampire hearts.
Yes, exactly. All right. I think because it's the afternoon show and they don't let us talk as much, I think we're about out of time. But
F
I think
them,
the message
you know?
Exactly. It's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The message has been delivered that there's new Linkin Park for you, and it's in the form of Road to Revolution, which is going to be available everywhere, like usual, right? This will not be tough to find.
Right. DVD and CD comes out on November 25th, and you know, it includes we put out one live CD DVD before. This includes all the new stuff, or a lot of new stuff, and it's a beautiful piece.
And Twilight on Friday.
That's right.
That also does come out.
Yes. Mike, we love you. We love the band. You guys are always welcome on K-Rock. Thanks for stopping by today. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, Cinco de la Tarde. Now that blowhard from Linkin Park is out here, let's talk about a real band. How about some Metallica tickets for you, the Kevin and Bean listeners? This
See
what?
How he
saying.
Does that?
I'm just saying.
That's why everyone hates you.
Metallica is coming to the Forum with two big nights. Tickets are on sale now, or you can win them right now if you're caller 20 at 1-800-520-1067. That's a number to dial right now to win Metallica tickets from K-Rock. It's Cinco de la Tarde with Kevin and Bean, and Ralph is here for his birthday edition of the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Hey! I've been drinking for my birthday.
Well, no one would expect anything less, especially today.
No. Or any other day.
That's true. You all right?
Great. You know, Mike's a good guy.
Yes. Okay. Awesome guy. Yeah.
Apparently, he was listening this morning when I was doing my Toby Keith rant.
Mm-hmm.
Beer for My Horses, the worst TV movie ever made.
Movie. And Mike shares the same feelings about Toby that I do. So
how about that?
We had a little bonding moment. It was very nice. Mm. Let's talk about show business news, shall we?
Okay.
Top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. We do this every Monday. Quantum of Solace, number one at the box office by far, making over $70 million this weekend. That's a lot of money.
They got to be happy.
Yeah. It cost $200 million to make, at least.
Really?
What?
Wow.
$200 million?
Very expensive film.
Wow. Go through a lot of cars making a Bond movie.
Yeah, and they're all Aston Martins, too, which I love. It broke my heart when I saw the film in the opening. It just
Have a lot of accidents.
Demolishes the sweet Aston Martin ride. Mm. Madagascar was number two at the box office, made $36 million. Then Role Models, High School Musical 3, Changeling, Zach and Miri Make a Porno, Soul Men, The Secret Life of Bees, Saw 5, and The Haunting of Molly Hartley. Rounding out your top 10 at the box office. Miley Cyrus is okay.
Thank God.
Don't believe what you're reading on the internet. Apparently, it's been going around all day today. Miley's YouTube account has been hacked into, and someone posted this grim announcement. Miley died this morning after being hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, dude.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
So all day today, they've been scrambling, trying to find what happened, and it turns out that someone hacked into her site and then posted that without her knowledge. But she's fine. So all the rumors you're reading on the internet, all the emails you're getting from your friends, Don't believe it. Miley Cyrus is okay. You're not really a celebrity anymore unless there are death rumors.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'd be time for Miley to change her passwords. After those suggestive photographs of her were put up there, they were stolen from her, and it seems like every day she has some computer issue.
Yeah, maybe new passwords in order.
Just think it. Stop using Achy Breaky Heart as your password. That's all I'm suggesting. This weekend, Wanda Sykes came out.
Of the closet?
Yes.
Oh.
Black female comedian Wanda Sykes is now openly gay.
How about that?
She said she avoided discussions of her orientation, for the most part, kept it private, until Proposition 8 passed in California. She surprised a group of organizers in Las Vegas for a rally over the weekend and told the crowd, "You know, I don't really talk about my sexual orientation. I was just living my life, not necessarily in a closet, but I was just living my life." And she said once this happened, she thought it was important for her to step up and say what she was into sexually.
I love lesbians.
She is a regular on that Old Christine show.
New Adventures of Old Christine.
She's a cast member on that show. If people watch that show, know who we're talking about.
Wanda says her life now is easier being openly gay, and she hopes one day to be openly funny. That just hasn't happened. I don't know why. Shanna Moakler loves being the center of attention.
Yeah.
Apparently, she was ticked off when she went to the opening of a store in Los Angeles last week. She was attending the grand opening, and she complained to the organizer of the event that there were no paparazzi there to take her picture when she showed up.
Mm.
She wants the paparazzi to take
her picture. The only reason she showed up.
She was waiting for that and was grumpy because there weren't people taking her picture as she walked into the store.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't get that.
It's kind of sad.
A lot of celebrities don't like that. But apparently she can't live without it.
I think more celebrities would be hurt if there were none. If there were no cameramen there. You know what I mean?
Like,
I think that they need that a certain amount.
Do you have any interest in hearing what Ashley Dupree, the hooker who brought down New York Governor Eliot Spitzer, has to say?
About what?
Sucking
Okay, Ralph.
I'm guessing that's what she probably
yes.
You can't
say that's probably what she knows best, right?
Thumbs up. Let's hear it.
ABC News has announced they will have the first interview with the celebrity hooker. She will be talking to Diane Sawyer this Friday night on 2020. Which is funny because a 50-50 is half half if you're
up. You can't.
Okay, Ralph.
Look, we're on in the afternoon. We're not in an elevator, okay? People are still listening.
Have you seen the numbers? Have you seen the ratings? It's like we're in an elevator.
That's a good point.
Yeah, no one's listening. It doesn't matter. And I want to give a heads up to folks who like to laugh because there's an event going on down in Fullerton, California at the Maverick Theater. They're doing their annual presentation of the stage adaptation of the hysterical movie Santa Claus Conquers the Martians. If you've never seen this film, I guess it's from the 50s. It is a horrible, horrible kids movie with cheesy special effects and just a horrific script.
That needed a couple of more horribles.
It's so bad, it comes back around to being spectacular. And in all its cheesy glory, they recreated on the stage at the Maverick Theater down in Fullerton. If you'd like to check it out, it opens up this weekend. It's November the 21st through December the 28th, the entire Christmas season. But it sold out last year, so you may want to get your tickets. You can go to mavericktheater.com for more details. I bet Lisa will go.
I love theater.
Absolutely.
Because she loves the theater.
I do.
What accent was that exactly?
I don't know. I love the
socialite?
Theater. Yes, socialite. Exactly.
It was a social heavy, that's for sure. Today's celebrity birthdays.
You want that with back, Ralph?
Yep.
Yeah.
Can we cut that out?
No.
Is this going out on the airwaves?
No, it isn't.
Good. Celebrity birthdays today. Rachel McAdams.
Ooh. Yeah.
It was celebuverylite.
Better. Mm. Not as effective this far away from the original mention. Hey, Ralph, we're
socialite, not celeb. Socialite.
You should not drink so much before.
Socialite is what
it's
she said.
It's the boy's birthday.
He said that.
Social very light.
That's okay, that's hilarious. Let's move on.
Wow. Wow.
Come on, it's his birthday.
Yeah, really. Kind of
man a break.
Slack.
Just let him ramble.
Rachel McAdams is 30 years old today. Leslie Bibb from ER and Popular is 35. Sophie Marceau is 42.
Ooh.
Ronnie DeVoe of Belle Biv and DeVoe is 41. Did I ever tell you the time I saw Kevin's autographed
Jamba Juice cup next to Belle Biv and DeVoe's autographed Jamba Juice cup?
Yes, he did. Mike. You guys mock me every time. It was some sandwich shop.
Apparently on Ventura, there's a Jamba Juice, which is like the Jamba Juice of the stars. And so when the stars come in there, they have them autograph a big gulp-sized plastic Jamba Juice cup and put it up on their wall of fame. I was in there the other day just getting the juice, and I looked up and I said, oh, Belle Biv DeVoe, that's funny. How pathetic do you have to be to put your autograph up on the wall of a Jamba Juice? That Kevin Ryder, wait a minute. And there's Kevin's autograph.
There was right, one person.
Right next to Biv.
There was one person there that was working behind the counter, and they were, and he or she was a huge fan. All I remember is going, come on, really? I mean, because look, it's Belle Biv DeVoe, and it's just us, right? There's no other
There's a few other minor celebrities.
I was like,
but I thought that was just sad for them. And it's sadder for you, quite frankly.
It's sad for all involved.
Daisy Fuentes is 42 years old today. Danny DeVito turned 64, as does Lorne Michaels from SNL. And Martin Scorsese is 66 years old today. He knows how to direct a movie. And Gordon Lightfoot, 70. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last one. Who's the last person you mentioned?
Gordon Lightfoot is 70 years old. First song guy responsible for this
ever. Good times.
Thank you for the mention of that.
Yeah. And happy birthday to you, Ralph.
Thank you so much. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want to thank our friend Mike Shinoda for stopping by from the excellent band Linkin Park. If you're a fan, you want to pick up their new Road to Revolution DVD CD set. Go ahead and edit that out, too, while you're asking me to have to think from Ralph. That is going to be available online.
I'm drunk. What's your excuse?
I'm just retarded. That'll be available on November the 25th. And a quick mention, by the way, if you missed this morning's Kevin and Bean show, we have announced we are up and running for this year's Miss Double December 2009. We are looking for the new young lady to represent the show throughout the next calendar year. You can get all the details on how to apply at the Kevin and Bean section of krock.com.
Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean show starting at 5:30 in the morning. We are going to have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. We have Rob Dyrdek in the studio.
Uh-huh.
Rob who? You heard me. Yeah. Talking about his new video game. We have Jimmy Kimmel on tomorrow morning show. So
wow.
Come back and check us out, won't you?
Or stick around for 60 minutes nonstop K-Rock music. Commercials zero between 6 and 7 this afternoon. And it's going to be Paramore. It's going to be Rise Against, Smashing Pumpkins, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Social D, and more. All right after this on the world-famous K-Rock. Have a good night.